is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Initiate procedure.
Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
Yeah, I told Coop, our producer, we're going to need this sound today.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Haven't played that in a long time, remember?
No, Kelly Clarkson!
What was that, 40-year-old virgin, right? That was Steve Carell. Oh, that was the movie that was from, right?
No, Kelly Clarkson!
That's the one we can play. There are a bunch of other outbursts from that scene that we cannot play. Well, we could if we wanted to get smacked with a humongous FCC fine, or we could just bleep the whole thing, and it would just be a beep, 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 instead of...
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Yeah, there's a Kelly Clarkson thing. Did you see the demand that her... she's getting divorced from her ex-husband, right? From her husband. The guy's going to soon be an ex-husband, right?
When I saw this...
I don't even know this guy's name. Well, hold on, I got the story over here.
I've never heard
of... Is it Justin Guarini?
No. Amazingly... Amazingly, they never got married. Although I do think they hooked up, especially after from Justin and Kelly.
Kelly Clarkson wins primary custody and divorce. No, husband. They were married.
We're talking about Justin Guarini, not this guy.
Who are you talking about?
Justin Guarini, the guy who finished second place on American Idol, who is currently Little Sweet on the Dr. Pepper commercials.
Was Kelly Clarkson season one?
She was season one.
She's the first winner. What are you talking about?
She is the George Washington of...
American Idol
winners.
Hang on a sec, guys. My alarm company's calling. Hold on.
Oh, God.
Hey, can you guys talk for a second?
Yeah, that's not a good
So, have you guys ever gotten your body hair waxed? It just reminded when Steve Carell was yelling Kelly Clarkson.
I will save all body hair waxing references to you, Roxanne.
But it's more funny when you guys get
I haven't had anything waxed. I am au naturel all the way around.
I'm trying to listen to MJ's conversation. Trying to figure out if anybody broke into his house or something.
Well, first of all, for your alarm company to give you a call at 6 a.m. is very disheartening. Oh, okay. He's saying thank you.
He's not
running out of the studio. So
he's got two guns in his hands. He just ran out of the studio.
Stop. I don't even know. No, my security system was getting some kind of an excessive alert thing. I don't know what that means. Anyway, there's no emergency at my place.
Good.
Just the alarm monitoring company is getting some kind of a... excessive signal situation, whatever that means.
Some man leaves your house every day at about 5:30 in the morning. What the hell's going on with that? That's me. I'm going to work.
No, there's some. I don't know. The system is just sending signals to the alarm monitoring station. So luckily, no broken windows, no back door jimmied open. Michelle knows where the ARs and the shotguns are, so I think she's got an FM 5.7 under her bed. So I think she's okay.
She's protected.
Yeah.
Do you have one of those house columns inside the house that has like a hinge, like Soprano's house had, full of guns?
Do you have a safe room?
We were watching that episode of Sopranos, and like the wife, I forgot what was it. The wife, Carmella.
Carmella.
Yeah, Carmella comes and she opens the column in the middle of the house, and there's guns. And my wife's like, "That is so cool! I would never have thought of that."
Take this. Hide this.
All right, hold on. What were we saying before my alarm company?
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh. Her ex-husband, her soon-to-be ex-husband.
First of all,
be a wealthy man.
Hold on. First of all, she won. Was she season one's winner?
Yes.
Okay. She was. It just all ran together from this. So she was season one, Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
And the story is, and we'll get to this later on. Kelly Clarkson wins primary custody of children in the divorce with this husband guy, who I don't know who the hell he is, but he wants $436,000 a month in support, in spousal support. He wants $436,000 a month.
Whoa.
I thought that was kind of a big deal. All right, we're just getting rolling. It's a busy, busy show today. It's the MJ Morning Show. You know, you love, you remember. We are back. MJ here with Froggy Fester and Roxanne, and we shall continue momentarily the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show. This is radio station Q105. I am MJ along with Froggy and Fester, Roxanne. Oh, Roxanne's all excited. She got her new car yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later on. Roxanne is driving a brand new X5 from our friends at Fields BMW. And that, of course, is on the heels of last week. Froggy's wife, Kim, also got a brand new X5 from our friends at Fields BMW. So
let's be clear. I got...
Dude, that mask doesn't work.
What are you talking about?
You can wear a surgical mask on the air. That one is muffled as hell. I got to give you... You got to wear a surgical mask.
It sounds like you're...
That doesn't work.
Is that muffled?
Sounds like you have a sock in your mouth.
Our sound clear to me.
You can wear the surgical mask, but you can't wear that cloth mask.
All right, I'll take it off. Jesus.
Do you have a ball
bag? I get sick today. Yeah. It's your fault.
Froggy, when we do GIMP role play, put that mask back on because that was really hot.
Did you really think you could wear that mask?
The other one wore out. The thing snapped on me.
I got another. I got a whole box of them.
Give them to me. My gosh, you're hoarding
like
masks over there?
Fiction.
I had to cut Kim's bra in half to get this thing in here.
Hey, here's a new mask. There you go.
Oh,
look at that.
Thank you.
I got a box of 50 surgical masks.
I really like this one. This one's really
cool. Dude, it sounds like you got a ball gag in your mouth. It's the GIMP scene from Pulp Fiction.
You walked away. I just said those exact things.
Bring out the GIMP.
No, I heard you say that. I was reiterating. It's the GIMP scene.
He said it with more enthusiasm. That's all right.
It's the GIMP scene from Pulp Fiction. I concur. I agree.
Thank you.
Roxanne, you get half credit. MJ gets half credit.
What the hell was Froggy even saying before the GIMP reenactment?
I don't remember.
Me neither.
I don't know. You're talking
about the car.
You were talking about some radio personality with the worst boob job you've ever seen.
No, yeah, okay. I bought that car for Kim for Christmas. Okay. So let's just, it's not Kim bought it. I got it for her for Christmas.
As long as you're not talking about me, because I got them done when I was 18. So that was, you know, many years ago.
I want to know about this radio personality with the worst boob job.
No. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to put my mask back.
It's a competitor.
No, what are you talking about? No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about BMWs. Jesus, shut up.
And she's a great salesperson,
yeah.
Right?
Got Roxy in a good one. Good job, buddy.
So you guys have new X5s. We'll talk about them later on, but I know that Kim is excited as heck. You're excited with your new X5, right?
Loving it.
All right. So
I'm actually going to downgrade. I'm going to get a 2004 Lincoln like Fester.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's the best car in the world. You guys don't understand.
You got your own vibe when you pull up.
You guys
in
don't
it.
Understand. Listen, right. This morning I spilled half a cup of coffee in my car. You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't matter.
I was like, big deal.
It'll be fine.
I pooped my pants. It got all over the seat. You know.
You know what I did? I cracked my window. I was like, this crap will be dry by the time the show's over.
I'm at a traffic light at 275 and Fowler, and a homeless guy leaned in and vomited all inside my car.
Just leave it. Be gone in a day or two.
The other day I did a U-turn on a two-lane road and I hit a fence. You know, I don't care. It's fine.
Who needs headlights?
I only have one headlight.
That's true. He's driving. Dude, you're going to get pulled over. That's called a PC right there. You know what a PC is?
No, what?
Probable cause.
Ooh, okay.
So
good
yeah, you've got a burned out headlight, you got a burned out taillight. That's the equivalent of you weaving and swerving all over the place, and that's a probable cause situation for a cop to pull you over.
Oh, you really want to
and
talk about
they can find a meth pipe inside and all kinds of crap wedged in the seat there, you know?
The only thing wedged in my seat are Snicker bar wrappers.
They pull you over, you're all hinky acting, and they saw some weird movements, so looks like you might have shoved something under the seat or crammed something in between the bench seat and your...
Excuse me, sir. What's in all these fast food cups back here? Right. What's in all these empty cups?
That 04's got a big old bench seat, doesn't it?
Oh, God. Well, when the armrest goes up, yeah. It's a 60-40, but yeah. My headlight situation, I only have one headlight that works. I drive with my high beams on all the time.
Okay, that's so illegal.
That's another probable cause stop.
Yeah, never
an
issue.
Your registration for 2020, are you updated? That's PC.
Yeah, everything's good on my registration.
That would also be a probable cause stop.
I've been PC all year because pandemic has been so weird. I thought I renewed my registration, and right. I didn't last year.
Oh, my God. You're a criminal.
Guys, look, you chewed up all the time in this segment. I was going to talk about this. I have a listener that was, hey, I teased something. Well, I mentioned something. I said, hey, if we have time later on, we'll talk about it. This was on yesterday's program. What? I know what. We were talking about Froggy, and I'm really disappointed in this because, you know, I consider ourselves intellectual property producers. You know, we produce, we do the MJ Morning Show every day. We create intellectual property. So I have an affection for those that are creators of on-air product, whether it's television, whether it's radio. And I don't agree with bootlegging. I don't agree. I'm a SAG-AFTRA member, by the way. Because of, I was in New York twice back in the early 90s, and then, you know, I did a morning show up in New York. And so I'm a card-carrying SAG-AFTRA guy. And
you're a union guy.
I have a SAG card.
I'm not really a union guy, but I had to be in the union up there.
Listen, I'm pretty saggy myself, but I'm not in a club.
But SAG stands for stupid and garbage.
I don't want to hear about your saggy problem.
I'll show you guys. Back up.
Ew.
So yesterday, Froggy, we found out, did watch the Mike Tyson fight, but he boosted the signal. You didn't pay for the pay-per-view. You had some kind of a bootleg German feed. And
yeah.
I scolded you for that. But then I also brought up the fact that Froggy number one, that he and his father, man, they got into a schnitload of trouble. FBI, all kinds. I mean, crazy stuff. So, you know, hold on a minute. Went a little long in this segment. I promise. Hey, I think it was Jerry or Jimmy, the listener, was on. Hey, I was waiting all day for you to tell the Froggy one story about the FBI.
Oh,
sorry,
is going to come to his house.
I sent Jimmy a note, and I said, we'll do it in the first couple of minutes of the MJ Morning Show. All right, Jimmy, hang on. I promise. Jimmy, I promise. I swear. We'll tell you the story next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Yeah. It's cold outside this morning. Well, as far as Florida goes, I love this. I love my crispy mornings.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
I guess it's not crispy, it's crisp.
Crispy would be hot.
Crispy would be like a delicious crispy chicken sandwich from PDQ. No.
Crisp weather.
It's crisp. And I do like some seasonal action as a longtime Florida resident. I do like the crisp mornings that November and December and January and February bring on occasion. So what is it, like 52 degrees out there right now? You know, it's going to vary depending on where. If you're down in that dip in Brooksville, it's going to be a little colder, obviously. But in the immediate Tampa Bay area, I think it's like 52 degrees, like right now at my place in South Tampa.
Yeah, temps are going to struggle. struggle today to get to 60 degrees, so bundle up the kitties.
The crisp makes you feel frisky.
Yeah.
MJ, how much colder? Oh, God, you are just, like, so horny. Jeez, Doug.
Is that why you're wearing this, like, biker chick outfit today? What? You're a horny biker chick? Is that what you're saying?
What? You look like Doug the Bounty Hunter's wife.
She really has an issue, guys. Really.
I don't think she's getting any.
Ooh, guys, it's cold outside. Let's take our pants off.
Oh, my God, I'm crying.
You said you're feeling frisky?
No. Animals feel frisky, too. It doesn't have to be related to sex.
No, don't. I have raccoons in my backyard. I don't see them going at it when it's 40 degrees outside.
Frisky can mean, like, running around more energetic.
No, frisky means one thing.
The way you said that, it's like you want to get with caller number 9 at 800-990-1047.
No, don't call it, people.
Oh my gosh, I'm crying. Have you never heard that expression? But you're talking about frisky.
I've heard frisky.
MJ Morning Show, hello. No, MJ was kidding. All right, thank you. MJ Morning Show, hello. No, MJ was kidding. All right, thank you. All right, we got like 4 calls.
Let me just Google frisky.
MJ Morning Show.
Hey, do I want to talk to somebody?
All right, hold on for me, sir. Shut your radio off, please, okay? Hold on. All right. Line 16, MJ, wants to hook up with Roxanne, so oddly.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are we on delay? Hi, it's MJ. Good morning.
Yo, man, am I call number 10?
No, it's sir, it's call number 9.
Oh, damn, I can't hook up with Roxanne? I heard that if you call in, call number 10, it's a hook up with that girl in there.
Do you look like a biker girl?
No, it's caller 9.
I got a biker fetish.
What's your name?
Damn it. My name is Ricky.
Ricky. Ricky, you're caller 10. We were looking for caller number 9.
Damn it.
Thank you, Ricky. Faster, Coop, answer the phones.
I got Tim from Ohio on line 12.
Oh, man.
Hi, it's MJ. Good morning.
Hey, there's snow outside. It's colder than 40. No one gets frisky in Ohio at that weather.
This wasn't Ohio.
Wait a minute. So you're actually calling from Ohio?
Yeah, I was actually the tab. Cola guy from the other day.
Web Cola? What were you?
Oh, Tab versus Mr. Pibb or Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
6 weeks ago.
Where in Ohio are you listening?
Outside of Toledo. It's a small city called Findlay.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for checking in. And no, you can't get it on with Roxanne. Thank you for calling on. Thanks for listening. Hey, have a great day.
Frisky, playful, full of energy, lively, bouncy, bubbly.
Were you up late writing your sex book last night, Roxanne?
Every line just lit up. I got to tell the story for Jimmy or Jerry or
all right,
whatever his name is.
Froggy won and his almost FBI bust.
All right. First of all, it's the MJ Morning Show. Oh, and then tomorrow morning, it's going to get even colder. Are you going to get even hornier tomorrow morning? Is that it? Are you going to walk in here with a bustier and no shirt? What's going to happen tomorrow?
Just in a Moulin Rouge outfit?
That is not what I meant.
No, seriously, because I think tomorrow, it's 52, 53 right now. And I think tomorrow it's going to be in the 40s.
This is what girls from Florida, their whole entire life, do in this weather. You wear leggings, boots, and a hat.
You know, Roxanne, for the holidays, replays that one sexual harassment song. I really can't stay.
Tomorrow, we're going to wake up, and when we start the show at like 6 a.m., it's going to be like 42 degrees.
I'm calling it.
Tomorrow it's going to be...
Can't make it. One time there was frost in my windshield. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I'm stuck at home.
All right, let's tell the Froggy One story.
Okay.
All began because Froggy, our current Froggy, who's been the current Froggy since what, the year 2000?
2001? Yeah, about 20 years.
Yeah, so this Froggy's been with me for 20 years. But we had a previous Froggy, Froggy number 1, and he was from like 1994 until like 2000.
So it was a clean break. There weren't ever two Froggies at the same time.
No, not at the same time. The thing is that Froggy 1 left, and I love the name Froggy. I just said, next guy's name is Froggy. I said, I'm not giving up the name Froggy.
Poor coos.
So here's the deal. Froggy was talking about how he watched the Mike Tyson fight, and he had some kind of a bootleg German internet stream, and I chastised him. I'm like, dude, why are you stealing the pay-per-view signal?
You want to hear what my stream sounded like?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's it, baby.
Is that German or is that something else?
It doesn't sound like German.
It's something, I don't know. I was just watching the fight.
Is that Slavic or something?
It might be Slavic.
I don't know what that is. Anybody awesome. Know? Hey, caller 9, what language is that?
It didn't sound like German.
I don't know what that is. So I checked.
It was free is what it was.
I yelled at Froggy for stealing the internet streaming feed of the Mike Tyson. What's the other guy's name?
Roy Jones Jr.
Roy Jones fight.
Florida guy.
And pay for this stuff. Come on. We create intellectual property. We don't want people stealing our stuff. So then I mentioned that, oh, if we have time later on, let's talk about the Froggy 1 story and the whole DirecTV activation card situation. All right. Now, Festy, you know the story a little better than I did. But Froggy number 1 and his father, they had knocks on the door from the FBI, like in those blue jackets with the big FBI yellow print on the back.
There was a time when you needed a card that slipped into the satellite service. Satellite.
I bought one from Froggy.
And he would go around, he goes, hey, man, you need a jailbreak?
I bought one. I was like, yes.
You want a jailbreak?
You want a jailbreak?
It was for DirecTV, right?
Selling them or just giving them out?
Yeah. No, he was selling them.
Give them out?
Yeah. He was crazy. Selling them. Yeah. It wasn't like passing them out like business cards.
So this was for DirecTV, and you still need, I haven't had DirecTV in about 5 years, but 5 years ago, you still needed that credit card that slipped into the receiver with a little chip on it.
I don't know. I've never been a customer
of theirs. Like a SIM card, essentially. Yeah.
Hey, man, you want a jailbreak card?
So, but they had some guy they got a device from, and they were making the cards, right?
They were taking existing cards and re-encrypting them to get everything.
And what? They had everything, buddy. You know,
every HBO, right. pay-per-view network.
If you had a card in your DirecTV with a little chip, they could take your existing card and make it turn on every channel available.
Of course. He acquired, like, 75 cards, and he rewrote them all.
I got you.
And he's all walking around the radio station. Hey, man, you want a jailbreak DirecTV card? And I remember BJ bought them, and a bunch of the management bought them.
I was an intern, and I was like, I'll take one.
How much was he selling the cards for? Do you remember?
Like a couple $100. Yeah, like $150 or $200.
Mine was $200.
How did he get busted? Who rolled on them? How did they get discovered? And how did the FBI knock on the door?
When did the windbreakers show up?
They had to pay some crazy fine. They were going to get prosecuted, but DirecTV, I think, agreed. The FBI knocked on the door, and I think DirecTV agreed to some kind of a settlement. Didn't they pay like $10,000 or $20,000? It was some crazy number.
That was the number I heard.
It was like $10,000
to make it go away,
to make restitution to DirecTV, or else they were going to prosecute, and they could have done like federal prison time.
You would think DirecTV would have the technology to know who has what card in what machine and who they...
Not then.
They somebody busted them.
I used to get the black boxes where it was the cable box, but you had all the channels, and they worked for like 3 months, and then when they found out about it, all they did was shut it off. Like, they didn't come to my house or nothing like that.
But that's the story. So, Jimmy, I lost his email, but he was pissed at me. He's like, I waited all day yesterday for you to tell me the Froggy 1 story. Well, there it is. They paid like $10,000 to make the thing go away, and they were scared crapless.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
You know what really, really sucks? Did you see that one of the founders of Zappos, that he died in like a house fire of smoke inhalation? The guy, he sold, didn't he walk away with like almost $1 billion? And then he dies of smoke inhalation at some friend's place in like South Carolina. Hey, I got the story here. Zappos CEO Tony, his name is H-S-I-E-H. I think you pronounce it Che. Was he Chinese? Or Chinese-American, Zappos CEO Tony Hsieh's cause of death revealed. Man, this just sucks.
46 years old.
Yeah, former Zappos. My wife has ordered tons of stuff from Zappos. Who's ordered Zappos? Fester, your wife must have ordered Zappos shoes in the past.
Yes.
Right?
She has?
Roxanne, how about you? Have you ordered?
No, I haven't.
Have you heard of Zappos?
Yes, I've heard of Zappos, but no, I haven't.
You've
ordered.
Never ordered Zappos shoes?
No.
Zappos is the place to go for online shoe buying.
Yeah, and then they send you the stuff, and then there are like free returns, all that
no
stuff.
Issues.
No issues. You order like three different sizes of the same shoe. You pick the one you want. You send the rest back. Yeah, my wife has done plenty of Zappos shopping.
He's of Taiwanese descent.
Taiwanese. Well, I guess the Chinese want Taiwan. That's the next world war, by the way, Taiwan.
Right.
Yeah. Can I get give me 5 minutes on Taiwan. Go.
Please.
Taiwan. Well, I don't know Taiwan as well as I know China and Malay. And Malaysia. What? Malaysia.
Malay?
Right. And I do know that.
That's what all the insiders call it. Malay.
Malay.
All right. Back to the side.
You don't have to do 5 minutes on. Anyway, former Zappos CEO Tony Hsieh died from complications of smoke inhalation. He was pulled from this house fire. Oh, it was Connecticut. I said South Carolina. It was Connecticut. According to medical examiners, his death was ruled an accident. According to the medical examiner's report, this is from the Hartford Courant newspaper yesterday. 46-year-old entrepreneur passed away Friday after being rescued from a blazing home in New London, Connecticut, 9 days earlier. He was trapped in a storage area during an early morning fire. Firefighters broke in, pulled this guy, the Hsieh guy, from the fire. He was unresponsive. He was rushed to a hospital in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Cause of the fire still under investigation. Hsieh led retail giant Zappos for 20 years and retired as CEO back in August. He also played a pivotal role in the revitalization of downtown Las Vegas, where Zappos is based.
Jeez. That's a big deal.
So he was a Harvard grad, grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, sold his first company to Microsoft in 1998 at the age of 24, used the profits to start a venture capital firm, invested in the shoe retail site that turned into Zappos, and Zappos was sold to Amazon in 2009 for $1.2 billion.
Mm.
I think he walked away. He walked away with like $800 million. This guy was worth a fortune. And he dies in, I don't even think it was his house. I think it was like a friend's house.
He was visiting a friend, Rachel Brown, who is a former Zappos employee.
God, that sucker, what?
He was there for Thanksgiving.
Something sounds weird that he was locked in a storage area where the smoke was coming out of.
Yeah, he might have gone into the area to escape the smoke, possibly. He fled and got trapped there and died of smoke inhalation. Guy's worth nearly $1 billion. The guy clearly is a tech and venture capital genius. And
smoke detector.
He's dead. I'm sure,
detector was going off.
I'm sure the place had a smoke detector. But
have you seen the house that this happened in?
I did not. Is it?
It's just a very interesting looking house with your architectural background. You could describe it.
It doesn't look like a billionaire's place. So he was visiting a friend. That's not his house.
But it looks very modern, but also it looks like something in the future, doesn't it?
It just looks like a, I don't know, it's a normal, like a three-bedroom house, one-car garage.
But it has that pitched roof that you have in northeastern homes.
Yeah, it looks like it's a very modest home. It looks like it might be, well, Connecticut real estate values might be inflated a little bit. But, I mean, here in Florida, that home, you know, if that home were somewhere here in Pinellas County or somewhere out in Hillsborough, that home might be
$400,000 home.
$300,000 to $400,000 home. It's a very, very modest home. The guy's a gajillionaire.
All right,
and he died in that house. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's not a mansion. No crazy, you know, gated community mansion there. But man, I guess it's time. Why couldn't he escape the house and get out of the?
That's what I'm saying. It sounds weird that he was trapped in that storage area.
I think Roxanne smells a conspiracy.
You going to do a true crime podcast on this deal? Is that it?
Murdered.
Are you sniffing out a podcast here?
Something doesn't add up.
Say it again. Something doesn't add up.
Something doesn't add up.
This time say it again, but not quite as creepy. Say it like you said it the first time.
Like a normal person?
That's all right.
6:48, it's the MJ Morning Show, it's Q105. Man, it's a busy, busy day today. Froggy, what did you have? You had something you wanted to, what was the thing you had?
The thing I had was...
You're angry at the whole Saved by the Bell deal.
Oh, yeah. Can we please talk about that?
Yeah, we can.
It pisses me off.
Yeah, we got a lot on tap today. Don't move, folks. It's the MJ Morning Show here on, what is this, Tuesday?
Yes, sir.
On Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105, 658. And last segment, we're talking about Froggy number one and the fact that he and his dad, they got pinched by DirecTV. There was an FBI threat, and they finally settled, or they had to cough up like 10 grand. That was my recollection, because they were, this is years ago. It was like, what, 20 years ago? Over 20 years ago, they were dealing in these bootleg DirecTV cards. They would modify the cards, you get every single channel. And I never had any part of that. I didn't have DirecTV, but I wanted no part of it. And we were talking about this earlier because I was chastising our current Froggy, Froggy number two, because he bootlegged
Don't call me Froggy number two.
Froggy. So you bootlegged the Mike Tyson fight over the weekend on some illegal stream online, which I don't approve of that behavior.
Well, I don't know. I went to a website and I watched it. I didn't download anything. All right. It's a streaming website. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
But I'm MJ and I don't approve of your message. All right?
I'm Froggy. I don't give a hoot what you approve. How about that?
So
you don't give a hoot?
I texted Froggy number one. And I sent him a note. I'll read the text exactly. I said, "Hey, how much did you guys have to pay to make that DirecTV bootleg activation card story go away?" He said, "I have no idea what you're talking about." But if hang on a minute, let me read this thing. "I have no idea what you're talking about. But if something like that were to happen, my guess would be in the neighborhood of 10,000.
And please don't say this on air.
It's too late.
How it ended.
He knows. By the time MJ sends a text, it's too late. It's already out there.
That's the story, baby. All right. There have been a ton of Zoom mishaps. You know, whether it's FaceTime, Zoom, of course, with the pandemic. Oh, there's vaccine news, which I'll get to in just a bit as well. So with the pandemic, we all know about all the Zoom meetings going on. Zoom usage went up, what, 2 billion%? It was just, yeah, you know, enormous Zoom usage. And with that, and so many people, hey, you had that guy, Jeffrey Toobin, the CNN legal analyst, the New Yorker writer, and the CNN legal analyst, that Jeffrey Toobin guy, he was caught...
Lubin the Toobin.
He was caught yankulating.
And he was fired by the New Yorker, but not by CNN yet.
Right. So CNN, he's on leave from CNN. All right, so he had a Zoom mishap where he was self-pleasuring himself.
That's not a mishap.
He didn't do it intentionally.
No, he pleasured himself intentionally. He didn't mean to broadcast it on the Zoom call.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So they were on a Zoom call, and it was the New Yorker, and it was the local, national public radio affiliate in Manhattan. They were doing some kind of a Zoom meeting. They were discussing election coverage.
They were doing a mock election coverage.
Exactly.
Deal.
And then they took a break. And then this guy's like, "Well, you know what? It's break time. I'm going to yankulate." So this guy,
what else could you do?
I got no problem with that.
He does it right on the. He thought his camera was off, and he exposes himself, and he's, you know, it's like, what? Anyway, there's another Zoom story. A woman in New Jersey, a school board member, I guess. She was caught going to the bathroom. She took her laptop into the bathroom.
Ew.
And forgot to shut the camera off.
Oh,
a woman resigned from her position on a school board after accidentally broadcasting her private act to over 150 people.
That's a nice audience.
Frances Cogelja. How the hell do you pronounce that? Get her off the board. I can't pronounce her name. Get her the hell off the school board. Francis Cogelja.
Okay.
A trustee of the Board of Education in Hackensack, New Jersey, forgot to turn the camera off on her laptop. She took it to the bathroom, and she shared her entire toilet break with almost 150 people online.
How do you do that?
Including some students.
Yeah, I'd have watched the whole thing.
How do you take the laptop into the restroom with you and do that?
I got a very important question.
What's that?
One or two.
I don't know.
It makes a big difference.
All the difference in the world.
Her bare rear end was seen on the camera.
How was her bare rear end seen? What is she putting the laptop behind her back?
She must have put the laptop on like the vanity on the kitchen on the bathroom sink countertop, and it must have been aiming, and she must have stood up or it dropped her pants to sit down.
She's a stand-up wiper.
Whether she had dropped her pants and then sat down, but on a Facebook discussion of this, one student said it was the funniest thing I've ever witnessed in my 17 years of life. that is a quote. Never in my life have I been so shocked, the teen wrote online on a Facebook group. And anyway, there were calls for her resignation, and she did. After she rejoined the meeting, well, it sounds like she never left the meeting. But the board's vice president, Scott James Vicky, addressed the embarrassing blunder and said, as far as I'm concerned, while our teachers are being professional, and you're at home sitting on the toilet, we are moving on with this district doing what's best. And then she's gone.
That's a little snarky response.
Yeah. Gosh. So a bunch of emails went out calling for her resignation. And then last week she resigned effective immediately after exposing herself in the bathroom.
Just so flushed her career down.
Was forced to resign. I mean, I think that's a lot less egregious than what Jeffrey Toobin did, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, Jeffrey Toobin was involved in an act of self-pleasure in front of all these people on this Zoom call. She decided, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom, I'm gonna bring the laptop in, I'll listen in. I guess she thought she turned the camera off.
Mistake.
But, whoops! Didn't turn the camera. You know what that reminded me of? Is the movie The Smoking Gun. Tess, you have the audio queued up?
Yeah.
All right. So Leslie Nielsen, the scene is they have a press conference about protecting the Queen of England, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Protecting the safety of the Queen is a task that's gladly accepted by police squad.
And he put on a wireless microphone.
How silly the idea of having a queen.
So he's talking about police squad is going to protect the Queen when the Queen comes to Los Angeles. And then he's done, and then he goes to the bathroom.
Especially if
he walks. He goes to the bathroom with the wireless mic still on.
Public appearances.
Oh my God. Prostate check.
That's what it reminded me of, so.
I've done that before, but not broadcast.
Everybody does it.
Holy, you did what?
Sometimes multiple times a day.
Accidentally, you go into the restroom and you have a wireless mic on.
When you're in TV, you go to the bathroom, you gotta always turn it off.
You always have to turn it off. I think maybe one time I started and then I realized, oh no, but I wasn't broadcast. It was like, okay, maybe the director hears you.
But you also always have to assume, I've always operated like this, if you're ever near a microphone, whether
it's hot.
It's a studio mic like this, or you're wearing a wireless mic with a little transmitter pack on your belt. You always have to assume, if I'm in a studio, I need to have a private conversation. I'll unplug the cable. I'll unplug the cables on the mics.
Jesus, how paranoid are you?
I've done that in the past. So, hey, on a very serious note, vaccine news, very important, next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, it's Q105. MJ here along with Roxanne and Fester and Froggy. 7:10 Tuesday morning. We have to tell Roxanne's car chase story. This was on I-4?
Yes, last week when I was off.
Yeah, we've got to tell this. This is crazy. Roxanne and her husband, they're on I-4. They witness something. Then they go into chase mode. This is a crazy story. Do you have any other information? Did you find out anything in the aftermath or just up until the point that you had told me?
I don't know what happened to the guy who committed the crime.
All right. Hold on. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. I mentioned some pretty important vaccine news. You saw yesterday that the Operation Warp Speed folks said that anybody who wants a vaccine here in the country, so anybody that wants a vaccine, whether it's the Moderna vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, you've got the upcoming AstraZeneca vaccine. Isn't Johnson & Johnson set to have data sometime around Christmas? So you're going to have a number of vaccines. And, you know, with Pfizer and Moderna, they seem to be falling in the same efficacy rate of, you know, 94-95%, which is, that's a hell of a lot better than anyone expected. The, you know, scientists, they were going to be happy if we had a vaccine that was going to prove to be like 70% or 75% effective. And here comes, you know, these big pharmaceuticals, and they're claiming after phase three trials that we're looking at a 95% efficacious situation with this vaccine. That's pretty damn good. So anybody that wants the vaccine, and this is according to Lieutenant General Paul Ostrowski, he told numerous media outlets yesterday that more than 300 million doses will be available well before June, but 100% of Americans that want the vaccine will have the ability to get the vaccine by June, and this is according to one of the officials with Operation Warp Speed.
So when you get this vaccine, you're going to be the people who have the factors, like high-risk factors,
right.
they'll be first in line to get it.
So the tiers, and I don't have the exact tiers in front of me, but it's essentially nursing home residents, elderly nursing home folks, and then first responders, nurses, doctors on the front line, they're going to be like the first tier. They're going to get the first wave of the vaccines, and that's going to start this month. Folks, it's December 1st. Can you believe it? Today is December 1st. Sometime by the mid to end of December, they're expecting the first wave of doses to go out. And again, folks in nursing homes that are in, you know, elderly, kind of, you know, decrepit shape.
Old people.
Old folks. Well, not all old folks.
Old people in nursing homes.
And then the frontline folks, healthcare workers, first responders should be in that first wave. I saw that, like, New York City firefighters, they could end up getting the vaccine this month. By the end of the month, they could be getting the vaccine. And then it goes to other elderly individuals and then those with comorbidities.
Ooh, that's me.
Yeah, you might be early up, but like Michelle and I, we're like the last phase. Like my age group appears to be like the last tranche or the last
category. Does it go by age group directly, or how are they treating it with kids?
So
what do they want kids to do?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if I saw the clarification. I read several things on kids.
Now, the logistical problem with all this is that it has to be transferred at such a low temperature. That's what makes it kind of crazy and expensive.
That's only the one vaccine. That's only the Pfizer vaccine. The Moderna vaccine is like a normal vaccine transportation temperature. That's where the Moderna vaccine has the advantage over the Pfizer. The Pfizer vaccine is the one that has to be transported and stored at minus 94 degrees. All right. That's the Pfizer vaccine. So that's a logistical issue. The Moderna vaccine, not as much. They're both about the same as far as efficacy. However, Moderna said yesterday, this is pretty amazing. Moderna said yesterday that their vaccine proved to be like unbelievably effective, you know, with the final phase three trials coming out on like the 30,000 people, that nobody that got the vaccine had any serious COVID outbreak.
Right.
So I mean, it's pretty strong. The details that came out from Moderna yesterday really were positive. And I'm guessing that most people are going to want to get the Moderna vaccine. But, you know, the Pfizer vaccine should be, you know, just as effective. It's just tougher to store and transport. But, like, I'm going to get the vaccine. As soon as I can get the vaccine, I'm not worried about it. You got all kinds of wacky conspiracy folks. Oh, this is all about genetic. Were you saying Robert Kennedy Jr. or something was making all kinds of isn't he? He's an anti-vaxxer, right?
Yeah, he is. But he was coming out speaking against the vaccine.
Because they say that it's an mRNA vaccine, which is a DNA-altering sort of treatment rather than just...
You're an expert now? What's going on over here?
I just read the story.
Roger's apparently an expert on everything. MDMR.
2 seconds ago, you couldn't differentiate Pfizer from Moderna, and now you're an expert
on
this thing.
Now let me tell you all about it.
All right, go ahead.
So in the past, vaccines have worked to ramp up your immune system to fight the virus. Right. And this new mRNA modifies your body's ability to fight it. It changes the RNA. Yep.
Yes, you read very well, by the way.
Thank you.
No problem. I have no problem getting the vaccine. I will get the vaccine.
Wouldn't you? Who wouldn't? Oh, yeah. Like conspiracy people?
But also keep in mind, this is important, keep in mind that you got to get 2 doses. So you have to get the on both the Pfizer and the Moderna, and we'll see what happens with the what's with the Oxford and the AstraZeneca. Same thing as the 2, and then Johnson & Johnson. You're going to have a whole bunch of vaccines that are going to be hitting, but that's also a logistical issue, is you got to get the first vaccine, and then you have to get a booster.
A month later.
About 30 days later, you got to get a booster. So logistically, it's not just one round. Everyone's got to do 2 rounds of this thing, and people have to adhere to that in order for it to be effective and for us to hopefully put this damn thing to sleep and get the infection rate below a 0.9, the R-naught number, as they call it, below a 0.9.
Oh, why don't we buy Moderna stock a week ago? $98 a week ago.
You should have bought Moderna stock about 8 months ago is what you should have done.
Wow, crazy.
But you should have done. So that's really good news on the vaccine front, and the Moderna news has been getting better and better and better. And they had news yesterday again as they were wrapping up the details on their phase 3 trials that it just gets better as far as the efficacy, the effectiveness of their vaccine. So it's very positive. 7:17, it's the MJ Morning Show. It's on Q105 here, folks. Next, Roxanne, her husband, involved in a car chase on I-4, we'll get to it next.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105 at 7:27. And Coop, our producer, has a question. Yes, Coop. Oh, then we'll get into Roxanne's car chase story. Yes, Coop, what can we help you with?
Well, I'm just very concerned because I wore very thick socks today. And I was wondering if it's supposed to get colder as the day goes on, or am I just in bad luck?
Would you wear ski socks?
Yeah, they were. They're pretty thick.
Did you dress like a lesbian again today?
No, that's every other day. So I'll do that tomorrow.
Did you just keep your socks on? Yeah. It's gonna be a cold one.
It gets warmer during the day. What is the temp right now? The temp now
46.
Is it what?
46.
It's not 46.
46.
It's 51. 46. What are you talking? It's not 46 right now.
I'm just taking a guess, you know.
No, it's not.
The Bay Area is very wide. It might be 46 somewhere.
No, that's wrong.
It's 46 in Valdosta.
In Brooksville, it might be 46. No, it's 51, 52 in the bulk of the Bay Area right now. So 51 or 52. Coop, to answer your question, it gets warmer during the day, but we don't get very warm today. So we only hit a high of about 63 or 64, and that's going to be like 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then when the sun goes and the conversation turns, when the sun went down. What song is that, Roxanne?
I have no idea.
Come on! You don't know what that is?
No.
Come on, what song is that?
I don't know.
The only song about the sun going down.
The way you guys are singing it, I have no clue.
You have no idea. And the conversation turned when the sun went down.
I mean, it kind of sounds familiar, but not the way you guys are singing it.
Keep feeling fascination.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Fascination.
Roxanne only knows one song about suns going down, and that's the Elton John one.
I think it's to a point where Roxanne just decides to say, yeah, I heard it.
Yeah. Who sings that song?
I don't know.
It's the Human League. Yeah, Fascination.
But seriously, you guys telling me that right now and listening to what you just did, look, I can't connect the dots.
Well, Roxanne, it's coming up next on Q105, so you'll enjoy it.
So, Coop, tomorrow, you need your heavy socks tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow, when you come to work, it's going to be like 41, 42 degrees.
Ooh, my God.
All right, so it's going to get even colder overnight and tomorrow morning. All right, we got to talk about Roxanne's story on I-4.
So, this was crazy. This is leaving Fields BMW.
All right, now, you were off last week.
I was.
Last week, Thanksgiving week, it was a shortened week anyway, so you took the week off. We did shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday live.
Right, I talked to you guys Wednesday morning.
And you guys went to first look at an X5 at Fields BMW last, like, Tuesday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you're leaving Fields BMW, and what happens on I-4?
Doug's driving. He looks in his rearview mirror. He's in the middle lane, and there's a car a little ways back in the right lane going the speed limit. A truck, I should say. This truck was going the speed limit, but it looked like it was at a standstill compared to the car that was flying up behind it.
Yep.
That car smashes it and then takes off.
So the guy's driving the speed, in what kind of vehicle? He was in a...
The guy who was driving the speed limit was driving a white truck.
Okay, so a pickup truck?
I think so, yeah.
Right. So he's driving a white truck.
A nice truck.
All right.
A nice looking truck.
Driving a white truck.
It was a nice
and
truck.
A new truck.
A speeding driver on I-4. This is leaving Fields
leaving
and then
Fields.
Heading back towards Tampa.
So westbound.
Westbound on I-4. So a very fast driver smashes into the back of the white truck.
Smashes into...
And Doug witnesses this in his rearview mirror.
In his rearview mirror. He's seen accidents before in his rearview mirror, so he's always glancing. Oh. So then all of a sudden, this truck, the gray truck, speeds past
so
us.
So the truck that hit the white truck.
Yes, right, the gray
so
truck.
Stop saying trucks. The hitter.
The hitter.
The hitter.
Okay. The hitter.
The hitter then speeds off.
Speeds past us. And Doug's like, oh my gosh, that guy just got hit. That guy just got hit. And I'm on my phone. I'm not paying attention. And I say, are you kidding me? So this... We wait for the white truck to catch up with us. And I'm motioning to the guy. I was like, you got hit. You got hit. He nods. I said, Doug.
Was the back of his truck all bashed in?
He couldn't even drive. He was like, chitty, chitty, bang, bang. You know, his car was.
Chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
His car was, it wasn't disabled enough to stop,
well,
right?
No. What are you, on shrooms?
Did Dick Van Dyke show up and fall over a couch?
Fine. So go ahead.
Did you see the guy mouth to you? Help me.
Yes, it was that kind of thing.
White truck gets smashed. The gray truck has to smash. There must be front end damage on the truck that hit the white truck.
There would have to be.
Right. So then he takes off and zooms past you guys?
Right. So I say to Doug, get him. Go.
All right. So you say, get him?
What's the matter with you? Duke
so we start going after this guy.
Oh,
because God. Obviously... The guy in the white truck can't catch him. And this is what it looks like. This is what... Yes.
Is there a fridge standing anywhere near this?
So the thing to chips starts playing. Does Doug carry a little red flashing light that he can just put on top of his car?
No.
All right, so you say, get him!
That's good, yes.
Get him!
And we go.
Because the guy is fleeing the accident.
I'm driving.
The guy in the gray truck is fleeing the accident.
Right, but there was a little traffic up ahead, so that bottled him up. So we were able to catch up with him.
Right.
And then he got into the right lane, and we swerved over into the right lane to get behind him. I'm like, closer. I can get his license plate. So I'm taking a picture of his license plate. I write it down, and we got, and then Doug beeped at him, gotcha. And then we slow down.
Doug went, gotcha? Did he give him the gotcha finger point?
Dude. This is a police academy movie. Remember Citizens on Patrol?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what this is.
Roxanne and Doug on patrol on I-4.
Now, which one of you is the punch?
Hang on a sec.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
show when I was a kid.
So this thing ends in the worst typical 1980s cop drama because Doug says, gotcha.
Gotcha.
Right to commercial.
Yeah. So
we slow down.
Right.
We let the guy catch up with us.
In the white truck that got rear-ended and smashed by the reckless maniac in the gray truck.
Right.
And then Doug rolls down his window and says, his license plate number is 4XT.
All right, so what happened?
So we gave him the information. We pulled over to the side of the road.
All right.
And so we gave him the information. The guy was so thankful because he didn't know what he was. I do have to say, this gentleman was so calm. And I thought to myself, if I'd just been rear-ended and someone just took off, I would be enraged.
But have you ever been rear-ended?
I have.
No.
Have you? You have? Yeah. Where? A traffic light or where?
It happened to me in Ybor City. I got rear-ended and the guy took off on me.
Yeah, it happened to me once in Ybor City too, but I was hanging out with Kovacs and we got a little drunk. Oh, different kind of rear-ended. Oh, sorry.
All right, so wait a second. So you remember the story that Michelle and I were going out to, I think we were having dinner with Joe Mello. We went out to Burns. This is like, what, 10 years ago? 9 years ago? So we're going to meet our buddy Joe Mello at Burns, and we knew it was going to be a big wine night. My deal with Joe was I pay for dinner, Joe buys the wine. I'm like, I'm in.
Good deal.
Yeah. So I knew we were going to have a busy night at Burns, so I'm not driving. So we took a cab to Burns and a cab back, and we're sitting on Swan right at Lois waiting for the traffic light. And we get rear-ended by a drunk driver in the taxi cab.
Was before Uber?
No.
Yeah, that was before Uber, yeah. Get rear-ended.
How pissed was anybody the taxi hurt? Driver?
No, we weren't hurt.
Just a little.
Yeah, the lady just bashes into. We were in a.
She was drunk.
What's the white cab? That's United, right?
Yes.
We were in a United cab. We don't drive because we know we're going
to
drink.
To be safe.
And then we get rear-ended by a drunk driver at the traffic light at Lois and Swan.
Was she arrested?
Yeah, okay. The cops came, and she was arrested.
Was she like noticeably drunk?
And I think she worked for one of the airlines. I think she worked for like Continental or United.
Did she have her own website?
What?
No, the website. The British Airways girl who's
you get it.
Okay.
The story from yesterday.
Sorry.
Oh, that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Your favorite story from yesterday.
You're veering me off. You're veering me off here.
Okay. Back to hit and runs.
Right. All right. So you gave the guy did you pull over on the side of the road? How'd you give the guy?
We pulled over on the side of the road.
Okay. And then you gave the guy in the white truck the information.
Yes, we did.
And then what do you know about the guy in the white truck?
He's an upstanding gentleman in Polk County. He's an attorney. And he said he has our number saved as Good Samaritans in his phone now. And if we ever need anything, to call him.
Probably has a meth lab.
You guys are listed as Good Samaritans in his phone directory?
Yes.
Good Samaritan 1, Good Samaritan 2. Bald Good Samaritan?
This has a really awkward ending. I will save you in my phone as Good Samaritan.
Yeah, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks.
Oh,
just ignore it next time.
Hey, do you remember the semi-chase I was in? Do you remember the story with the male thieves in my neighborhood? Do you remember that story?
Another hero story.
Hang on a sec. I'll tell you this next on the MJ Morning Show.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
I don't want to drag the story out, but the car chase. Festy, do you remember back in the day we're doing the MJ Morning Show? Do you remember this would have been prior to 2005? I think it was like 2001 or 2002. Do you remember the neighborhood little situation that I got into with the male thieves? Remember this?
I vaguely recall that you had a male thief on your block.
Yes. MJ Morning Show, it's Q105. Hey, folks, 7:40 here on a Tuesday, December 1st. How about that? And weather-wise, kind of chilly right now. Wait a sec. It just dropped. You know, it does this sometimes. So when the sun just comes up, the temp drops sometimes.
I wasn't making up 46 a minute ago.
Well, you know, I thought maybe your phone was like all whacked out. So my phone is now saying in South Tampa, it's now 48 degrees. Holy moly. Look at that. Yeah, so So now my phone's showing 48.
But in St. Pete, it's 54. So there is a big swing.
Wow, yeah. So yeah. My phone is calibrated for South Tampa, and it's showing 48.
It's about 50 degrees across the Tampa Bay area. There's always a couple of degrees variation.
Tomorrow morning, it's going to be cold, though. Tomorrow morning, like low 40s in a lot of the Tampa Bay area. All right, so back around, I would say, 2001, 2002, and Roxanne just told her story about she and her husband, Doug, they got into a little car chase on I-4 because they witnessed a hit-and-run who guy doing about 90 smashed into the back of a car doing about 70.
Right.
On I-4. That was last week. And my story on a hit-and-run, and you know, luckily it didn't have a tragic ending, but I felt that I had to do something, and then those individuals fled, and, well, I'm in my front, and you know, I'm wheeling out the trash. This is, again, like 2001. I'm wheeling out the trash to the curb. It's like, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This is, what was this before? You know what? This would have been just before I started doing the Schnitt Show. So here's my frame of reference. I started doing the Schnitt Show in October of 2001, just a couple of weeks after 9/11. So this must have been in early 01 or sometime in 2000. I'm wheeling the trash out. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I notice a car going very slowly down my street. So, and they're stopping, and they're stopping at mailboxes. I'm like, yeah, they're just putting flyers in mailboxes. So that to my left, they see me wheel my trash out right next to my mailbox. They skip my house. They go to my neighbor's house. And then I turn and I look at them. I see them as they pass. It was a short-haired blonde woman in the passenger seat. And then it was a kind of a skeezy-looking, greasy, you know, skinny guy driving the car. And then they go to my neighbor's house. And this is in South Tampa. It's near the YMCA off of Himes, where my first house was. And I turn, I look to my right, and they're at my neighbor's house now after bypassing me. And I'm like, they're putting flyers in mailboxes. But then I see them reach into my neighbor's mailbox, grab their mail, put it in the car, and then drive to the next house. Then they go to my buddy Mark's house. He's a couple of doors down. And they... first they went to Bob Neal's house, you know, the old big Cox radio executive. He had a house over there. They go to his mailbox. They take his mail. Then the next house, my buddy Mark, they take his mail. I'm like, well, son of a bitch, they're stealing mail. I get in my car, back out of the driveway. I don't want to spook them. I just want to get the driver's license or the license plate number of the driver. So I slowly get behind them, and I'm keeping a distance, and I don't want to get right behind them. I want to wait until there's a natural stop, like at a stop sign at the end of my street. And what happens is he kind of sees me, and he speeds up a little bit. So I think he knows that he was made.
We're being tailed.
So then he hooks a right onto MacDill, then makes a right turn up on Harborview, and then heads back up towards Himes again, and I'm just trying to follow because I still don't have the license plate number because he's speeding. I'm just waiting to get to a spot where I can get the license plate number. And then this is a crazy story. Then this dude gets out onto Himes and he floors it. And I couldn't get the license plate number. He then rolls through the red light at Himes and Euclid and T-bones an old lady in a big old Buick.
Oh my God,
that's your fault. How did you not just call the police as soon as you were driving? Say, hey, I'm following a guy in my neighborhood being suspicious.
Because that was my next deal. First of all, I don't think I had my cell phone with me. I was I think it was in the house. I didn't have my cell phone.
And that's just a close. What's the distance from your house to Himes? And
oh, it was like less than half. It was a quarter of a mile. Okay. It was right down the street.
So when he T-bones the old lady, did you pull up to him and you could give him a dug like? Gotcha.
Then he takes off, and so then I did follow them. The lady was okay. I kind of looked, and then other people were stopping to help the lady at the intersection, and I was still trying to get their license plate number. And I'm not driving fast. I'm just trying to do the speed limit, and I'm just trying to get a license plate number. They rolled behind the Payless Shoe Source, which used to be on the corner of Euclid and Dale Mabry. They roll into that parking lot, and they throw the mail into the dumpster.
That's a waste.
And then they take off, and I still didn't have a license plate number. But then the end of the story is great. Turns out that they abandoned their car on, God, it was North A. What's the street like behind Fox 13? Is that like North A?
A Street and B Street.
A Street,
right,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think Joe Redner used to have an office back in there, like Redner Enterprises back, and he had security cameras. They abandoned their car and then reported it stolen.
But it was captured on the cameras.
They were captured on camera. And then when I called the police, finally, then the detective got a hold of me and said, hey, can you look at some pictures? He gave me like a sheet with like 8 males on it and 8 females.
Circle the ones you know.
And
you recognize.
And he said to me, can you identify the driver and the passenger in the car? Because they were busted with their little scamp to try to report the car stolen. So he hands me the 2 sheets. And on the female page, I went right to her. I said, that's her. He said, you are correct. And he said, how about the male? I said, it's this dude right here. And that was from just a quick glance as they drove by my driveway, bypassing my mailbox because they didn't steal my mail because I was wheeling the trash out.
You know, it'd be a lot more fun if police carried little game show sound effect when they show you the sheets of prospective suspects.
That's correct. You're right. That's who it is.
There you go. Very good, sir.
Or, I'm so sorry.
Did you have to testify?
I did.
You know, all you guys are going to get shot.
You know what? Involved. I went to court to testify, but then they took a plea deal at the last minute, so I was released. So that was the story. I think the driver went to jail, and then the young woman, I think she was put on probation or something.
So they were caught for ditching the car, reporting it stolen. The mail never factored in. Was that ever a crime that factored in?
I think they turned them over to postal inspectors for that. So I think that was a whole different federal situation for the stealing of the mail. So,
you should have retrieved the mail from the dumpster.
And the old lady, her car was smashed up good, but she was okay. She was driving a tank. She was like 82 years old, driving like a huge, like mid-80s Buick.
I'm fine.
You know? Huge. All right, so that's my story. All right, 7:48, it's the MJ Morning Show, it's Q105. Question. Should I put Purell up my nose?
I never thought about that before.
Hold on to that thought. Should I put Purell up my nose? Next on the MJ Morning Show on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Do you really need to tell folks, don't put Purell up your nose? Is that something you really need to say? Hey, don't put Purell up your nose. The reason why I bring this up is Michelle's good for a number of stories a week, meaning, she's got a feed on her phone. You know, on our Androids, we swipe to the what? To the left, and we get that whole feed with all these news stories that get populated. And, she did some good stuff. She sent me this item, which is actually from NPR. From National Public Radio, she sends me an item from the NPR website, and it's some kind of question and answer column, and it's about coronavirus FAQs, frequently asked questions.
All right.
Should I Purell my nostrils?
Interesting.
No.
They have somebody that's answering weekly coronavirus questions, and one of the questions is, when I get in my car, I always squirt some Purell or sanitizer into my hands. With the tips of my forefinger and thumb, I then rub some sanitizer inside my nostrils. Does this have any helpful or detrimental effect?
That's a sensitive area inside your nostrils.
I don't think it'd be detrimental. She's not jamming it up there and putting like 10 squirts up her nose.
Why would anyone think that I'm going to jam some Purell inside the rim of my nostril? What? That's going to be some kind of a barrier, a force field against the coronavirus, against the COVID?
Maybe.
You know, the more you talk about it, the more it kind of makes sense.
Remember you brought up
your... What the hell are you talking about?
All right, so everybody's talking about washing your hands, keeping your hands clean. What's the next dirtiest part of your exterior body?
Your butt.
Okay, what's the next dirtiest part?
Well, if you're saying exterior, nose, your wang. Why
is it? Okay. So after you put Purell on your butt and your wang, then what?
Like Beavis and Butthead in here.
Somewhere in the top 15 is your nostrils.
Dude, the virus, the microscopic nature, the micron size, however it's categorized, it's so tiny. Rubbing some Purell inside your nostrils is going to do nothing for the virus entering through a mucous membrane, like your nose, like your mouth, like your eyes.
Not true.
Instance.
Not true. Then why do they why do you wear a mask over your nose?
Dude. Listen, are you kidding me?
I'm just saying.
Because of droplets. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, this is coming from the guy.
My doctor calling me, telling me I'm absolutely right. Thank you, doctor.
You're actually...
Listen, it has no effect. You're putting Purell up your nostril, all right?
I'm not mad at the idea.
By any chance, maybe if you have some virus sitting on your nostril, maybe if you jam with Purell, you might kill some virus. But breathing in the droplets that are suspended in the air... That you're going to suck right up through your nostril, and you doing a little rim action on your nostril with Purell, it's not going to do anything. Now, wearing a mask, the reason why you wear a mask is for suspended droplets, that there is a barrier. So if you are sick, you're breathing, you're coughing, you're talking, and when you talk, even if you're not an overt spit talker, even when you talk, if it doesn't look like anything's coming out... If you do low-speed special photography and black light, there's stuff coming out of your mouth even when it's not detectable. You're sitting at dinner with a couple, let's say, and you guys are having a conversation. Everybody's spit is going all over the table, all over everyone's meal, little droplets.
Oh, yummy.
So you can't think about it.
That's why you wear a mask. And again, right. Not all masks are created equally. Obviously, the best mask is going to be the N95 or a good KN95. And then the surgical masks, just those bluish light, but those are 3-ply surgical masks, are the next best thing to the N95s or the KN95s.
Okay, thank you for that very, very in-depth analysis of all the mask options. However, when you started talking about this story, you said, do you want to squirt Purell up your nose? That's not what she's doing. She's taking a little bit on the end of her fingers and rummaging
it
in her nose.
It does nothing.
It doesn't sound like it's hurting anything
either.
Actually,
you're probably introducing, you're putting your fingertips. What if your Purell didn't kill all the bacteria that might be on your fingertips that you're now jamming into your nose?
Listen. I think it's something that the CDC should actually recommend.
I think the alcohol and the Purell is going to be bad for your nasal membranes. If you want to do something, do like a Vicks vapor rub on your nose.
Or some Bengay right up your nostrils.
Their answer is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says keeping your hands clean is always important to reduce infection, but especially now to prevent the spread of COVID-19. But not in your nose, says Lena Nguyen, an emergency physician and public health professor at George Washington University, who previously was Baltimore's health commissioner. Putting hand sanitizer on your nostrils isn't a barrier to breathing in the virus. If your hands come in contact with the virus, say by touching your steering wheel or somebody with COVID-19 sneezed on a surface, then using hand sanitizer can kill the virus from your hands and keep it from entering your body if you touch the mucous membranes in your nose, your eyes, or mouth. But hand sanitizer on or in your nose won't keep you from inhaling the particles, dude. Your nostril is like the Lincoln Tunnel to a virus.
Okay, so you could still inhale it. But think about it. What do you touch with
it? It does nothing. Don't put Purell in your nose.
But, guys, I have a friend who, he doesn't put Purell, but he puts Tide to Go eraser sticks in his nostril.
As long as they're not Tide Pods.
No, those pods are too big, Roxanne.
No,
that makes
no
sense.
The Tide sticks.
The sticks, Roxanne.
That's it, right up your nose.
Oh, my.
He eats the Tide Pods.
Oh, that's right. There are other things to do with the Tide Pods.
Fester, there's no justification at all to put Purell in your nostrils.
Of all things for you to believe, Fester. Jesus.
I'm not saying I believe it. I'm saying it doesn't sound like it's that crazy.
You're an idiot.
Don't put Purell in your nose. Folks, don't listen to Fester. There's no justification here. Whatever you do, don't do it. All right? Oh, 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 oh. That's the MJ MJ Morning Show. We're back in moments. What are you laughing at, Froggy?
Best you're singing.
Best you're singing?
I love this song.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
Oh, the late, great, really nice guy, Eddie Money. You know, I met him numerous times over the years, and of course, he passed on. Eddie Money on Q105. It's the MJ Morning Show. And yes, I've got the Universal tickets right now. Let's do it. I've got tickets now. This is a pair of tickets for you to experience the holidays at Universal Orlando Resort. If you're the seventh caller right now, you'll grab a pair of these Universal tickets. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Caller 7 right now for the pair of Universal tickets from the MJ Morning Show and Q105. Fester, stop trying to justify. I mean, folks, during the song, Fester's weaving in and out of singing Eddie Money and still trying to justify putting Purell up your nose to fight the virus.
Take me home tonight. Jam Purell up your nose if it feels right.
Now, that's a parody.
I'm not saying it's completely false.
It has no effect.
Okay, you're all right,
putting Purell up your
nostrils. Moving on.
Please. Yes, thank you.
Please. It's going to sting, please. Bottom line.
Moving on here. All right. Has anyone had a really crappy roommate ever?
No.
Fester, have you had a crappy roommate? I had some wacky college roommates early on. You know, just slobs or, you know, just disgusting personal habits, but that was in a college dorm. I never had a roommate in life outside of college, for instance.
Me either.
It was like any roommate I had was on campus dorm housing.
I lived by myself.
And my freshman year at Ithaca, I was in a triple. I was in Hilliard Hall on the upper quad in a triple.
I had one roommate and he was on probation.
The weed guy, right?
Yeah, the weed guy. Right. Yeah, the weed guy. The weed guy.
Right. And folks, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. I've got a roommate story you got to hear here. All right, so your weed guy.
He eventually became my weed guy. He wasn't my weed guy when I first met him.
You don't smoke pot.
No, not now. But
when he was a kid?
Yeah, are you kidding me? Me and Froggy think of great show ideas, chiefing up in the radio station.
All right, Spencer, come on.
All right, anyway, listen. His name was Jim. I met him through a couple of mutual friends, and we get together, and we agree to terms, and we sign a lease, and he's like, hey, there's something I got to tell you about me. And I'm like, what? He's like, well, I'm on probation. I'm like, oh, okay.
He didn't tell you he was on probation until after you signed the lease?
It didn't come up. And he was a weed dealer. And I'm like, okay.
Right, so he's on probation, and he's also a weed dealer while he's on probation.
So, like,
and why was he on probation?
For fleeing police in a car or on like one of those little motorcycles. He like
a moped?
Yeah, no, like the rice rockets, like the
Hayabusas.
Oh, he was on a crotch rocket.
So he took off from police and had a police chase on US 19, and he was arrested.
Oh my God!
I guess it was in the papers. I don't know. I never looked it up.
That's your roommate?
Of course, that's your roommate. Okay.
But he was a high-speed chase, right?
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
And then he comes up to me and goes, hey, listen, man, do you have $1,000? And I'm like, what? And he bought a box of weed with $1,000.
You funded a $1,000 weed purchase for them, what? For him then to baggy it up and sell it, like dime bags?
I'm not sure you can get a box of weed for $1,000.
Yeah, he paid me back like $4 on the dollar. Here you go. Like, oh, my God.
Hold on, he paid you back $4 on the dollar?
Like over the course of 2 weeks while he dispersed his inventory?
You made $4,000?
Yeah.
I got you.
I was the angel investor.
So you were funding his trafficking operation?
I was his Mr. Wonderful. I was his Mr. Wonderful. I came in, heard his business prospectus, I gave him the investment, and
tested the product.
It's Pot Tank.
So, anyway, Jim eventually broke his probation.
Oh, really?
Did he go to prison?
No, he went to county. So he was in the Hills, the Pinellas County Hotel on 49th Street.
Really?
And I went to go visit him, talk to him through the little piece of glass. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Anyway, he knew he was going to, the cops came to the house looking for him because he broke probation.
Right.
He's not here, officer. And so I told him, I was like, hey, Jim, the cops are looking for you. He goes, yeah, I know. So he turns himself in. Turns out Pinellas County has like a police Uber. If you're wanted on a probation violation, just call them and they'll pick you up. So they came to the house. But before he left with the cops, he goes, hey, here's like 4 months worth of rent. I'm not going to be around for a while. So he was a terrible roommate, but a great roommate, because even when he was in jail, he paid rent.
He paid his rent.
So, I mean, I can't say anything bad about the guy.
And Roxanne, you never had a really crappy roommate?
No, okay. No. When I think of crappy roommates, I think of like Single White Female, that movie.
All right, listen to this.
Never had any like that, yes.
I got it. All right, listen to this. Former Lehigh University student pleads guilty to poisoning his roommate with a heavy metal.
Oh.
Okay, with a heavy metal?
With
music? Or
no, mercury or something.
All
right?
Metallica, yeah. All day.
No, not music.
You're some Slayer till you die.
No. A former Lehigh University student and chemistry major. He knew what he was doing. Could face at least 20 years in prison after admitting that he laced his roommate's food and drink with a poisonous heavy metal. What a nightmare. Yukai Yang pleaded guilty yesterday, a single felony count of attempted murder, admitting he poisoned his roommate with the heavy metal thallium. Yeah, check the periodic table. Can you give me the atomic weight on thallium, Froggy? What are you playing here?
Just metal? Death metal?
You're going to die. Here's some heavy metal. How about a dose of this?
This song's called Bunsen Burner.
It's called Thallium Delight. Yeah.
So how do you... What did he do? Break open a thermometer and dump it into his drink?
No, it wasn't mercury. It was thallium. No,
but thallium and mercury, 80 and 81 on the atomic scale.
Are they really? So,
yeah.
Oh, very nice. I didn't know that. You didn't know that either until you looked it up.
I just looked it up because you said, find out what that is.
So anyway, as part of a negotiated plea deal up in Pennsylvania, they'll withdraw some other charges. Yang faces 6 to 20 years in state prison. Attempted murder carries a maximum sentence of 40 years, but this kid's going to do 6 to 20 years.
Good.
Yeah, this kid appeared in court yesterday. The judge, Stephen Barada, asked whether... By the way, I love your cheese, Mr. Barada. Spelled differently. Asked whether he had a history of mental health issues. If so, whether he'd been diagnosed. Yang told the court that he'd been diagnosed with major depression. Yeah, not a U.S. citizen. Why the hell would he try to poison his roommate with a heavy metal? You know, like arsenic and that kind of stuff. Those are like heavy metals.
Wow.
Arsenic. Yeah.
Anthrax. Now, that's a roommate from hell.
Well, obviously, he's not a right in the head.
The roommate that was poisoned, his name is Royal, and he talked about a tingling sensation that started in his extremities.
Oh, my God.
Then he had unfathomable pain in his feet. He was unable to sleep, climb stairs. And then he was finally diagnosed. They did a whole bunch of blood work, and they found out that he had heavy metal poisoning. And then turns out that his roommate tried to murder him.
Yang's like, what's the matter, roommate? Are you okay? You look so sick.
You don't look so good.
That's a process. So go through all that pain, go get diagnosed, your blood work, and then like, I wonder how this got inside me.
You want me to bring you soup? You don't look too healthy.
So that is a roommate from hell, one that poisons you with a heavy metal.
How's he doing now, both of them?
Well, the other guy recovered.
Well, Yang's in jail.
Yang's in jail.
And then Yang's going to jail for 6 to 20 years.
Heavy metal guy's on a strict diet of country music.
Once they finally, sentence him, we'll see what happens. That's a crazy story. Now, Froggy, you're very aggravated at a TV return,
right? Just brought me back down to reality. I'm pissed.
Now, Froggy is very, very angry at a television reboot. Now, are you going to be able to control yourself, or are you going to lose it on the air?
It's just, it's stupid. I don't understand. You know, why the same reason why you said, why did this guy murder this guy? Why did they do this to Saved by the Bell?
Froggy's got a big problem. It's Saved by the Bell. Hold on. We'll explain. Coming up on the MJ Morning Show.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
What the heck? Let's try to grab some phone calls here. So a few minutes ago, we'll get to Froggy's really PO'd regarding this Saved by the Bell reboot. Froggy may be one of the biggest Saved by the Bell fans of all time. You're a 40-year-old freak bag over there, Froggy.
I'm not. I'm 41.
All right, whatever. I'll get to that in a second. Just for the heck of it, we just told the story about this crazed roommate up in Pennsylvania, and this guy's going to do up to 20 years in state prison, rather, in Pennsylvania. The roommate, a chemistry major at Lehigh University, was poisoning his roommate with thallium, a heavy metal. And just out of curiosity, how many of you listening have just a crazy roommate story? Did you? I'm not asking you to match it with a roommate that was poisoning his roommate with a heavy metal like thallium. But anybody listening, do you have a crazy roommate story? Or did you have the roommate from hell? What did your roommate do? We'll see if we can scare up some calls here. 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. If you've got a roommate from hell story, something your roommate did that was just insane or drove you nuts, you were sick and tired of, did you finally break up with your roommate? So any roommate from hell stories, 800-990-1047. And Fester, you had asked, what's the condition of the roommate who was poisoned, and he's pretty much recovered. He does have Royal, the roommate's name is Royal, told the judge that the pain in his feet has finally dissipated, but he continues to have numbness in his toes and less stamina than before his roommate up in Pennsylvania was poisoning him with thallium, a heavy metal on the periodic table.
Sounds like he poisoned him with diabetes.
Was there any backstory as to why we know he was crazy. We know the guy who did it was crazy and depressed.
Why would he even want to hurt him in the first place?
A psychological evaluation had been completed, which included a pre-sentencing investigation. And I guess Yang told the court that he was diagnosed with major depression. Yang acknowledged in court that he purchased the thallium used to poison his roommate, blah, blah, blah. He told the court that it was purchased the first week of March 2018 and began poisoning his roommate shortly after.
Apparently, according to Yang, Royal used to leave the seat up on the toilet.
No.
And Yang is a sit peer, and he would fall in the tank all the time.
All right. So,
hey, Yang, there's a package here for you. It says plutonium on it.
Coop is screening some roommate calls right now, so we'll grab some calls. All right, Froggy, on to the Saved by the Bell deal. Have I seen it? Of course. Over the years that I see it, it was on Saturday mornings, right?
Well, yeah, the Miss Bliss years and early days.
Have I seen Saved by the... Yes. Am I aware of Screech and some of the crap and the teacher guy? Yeah. All right. But was I a Saved by the Bell fan? No. Folks, Froggy was an insane Saved by the Bell fan.
Yes.
And you are angry because of what reason?
Because of the reboot.
Well, mainly, I realize that. What's the problem?
Mainly, I wanted to watch the reboot. I was going to give it a chance, okay? I love Saved by the Bell. This kind of angers me. A couple of the people came back, Zach, Kelly, so on. I fire it up, and the theme song is the worst thing. The Saved by the Bell theme song, as you know, is classic. It's a classic piece.
Yeah, and if it's ever played, Froggy just instantly jumps in.
I mean, not always. I don't usually have to do it. But when I wake up in the morning and the alarm gets out, I'm on it. I don't think I'll ever wake up on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus fly by. It's all right, because I'm Saved by the Bell. Guys, you ever have your... If your teacher pops a test, I know I'm in a mess, and my dog ate all my homework last night, riding on my chair. She won't know that I'm there. If I can hand it in tomorrow, it'll be all right. It's don't you pull that down? Well,
do we have to listen to the whole thing?
I can bring down the audio. I notice Froggy doesn't miss a beat. When I bring down the actual song...
You're ruining the guitar solo.
Yeah. Froggy is right there with the lyrics.
It's all right, because I'm saved by the... It's all right, because I'm saved by the... It's all right, because I'm saved by the bell. Starring Dennis Haskins.
Are you a Jesse or a Kelly guy?
Totally Jesse. Okay.
That is the old one. Now, the... Oh, we got... Look at the calls we have here on Roommates from Hell. This is the new one. And this
Oh, God, I'm going to get sick. Don't play it.
This is why you're aggravated.
Now, who sings this? Froggy.
I think it's like Little Yachty or something.
Little Yachty?
I think it's a rapper.
I think it's Little Yoda.
Little Yoda, yes. Rap I do for you.
When I wake up in the morning, the alarm gives out a warning. I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look,
I'm going to puke.
Just in time.
Oh my God.
MJ.
Yeah, it's not very good.
MJ. It's terrible.
You know what it sounds like? It's like the guy that does...
I'm disgusted.
It's like the... Oh, baby, you got what I need.
Was that Biz Markie?
Yeah, that's like Biz Markie's doing
it's
the
like
thing.
It's like the most kind of classic... TV song, and
you're just a friend. Oh, baby, you.
Okay.
You got what I need. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, that song isn't what I need, and now I'm not going to watch the reboot. I don't care how good it is.
Well, Froggy,
it sucks.
Froggy, come.
It sucks. Say by the bell. Froggy, come. Screw you.
Come.
Piss me off. I've been waiting for that for years, and you come out with.
Are you going to order some?
It sucks.
You can order some thallium online.
I need some pills right now. I need to go.
No, to poison the Saved by the Bell.
Folks. Yeah, I'll poison him. I'll just stab him right in the heart.
You talking about Little Yachty?
I'll stab all of them.
All right, hang on. Let's go to phone. So the question is: the roommate from hell. Did you have a roommate from hell? After we told the story about the roommate at Lehigh University that poisoned his roommate with thallium, a heavy metal. Phones are jammed. Let's grab Kristen in Tampa. Kristen, you're on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. What about your roommate?
All right. So it was back when I was 21, and I was working at a gentleman's club. So I had a roommate that worked with me.
What did you do at the gentleman's club, Kristen?
I was a shot girl.
Of course, right. I was a bartender.
All right. And?
She was a dancer.
Oh, she was. You were the shot girl. She was the dancer.
Yeah, you know, I...
And you were probably better looking with a better body, too, right?
I would like to think so.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I got to figure it out. All right, go ahead, Kristen.
So I had a very attractive boyfriend, but my husband's much better. So she was very jealous of it, and she told my boyfriend and asked him how he likes the taste of her saliva. And I was like, why would she even ask that? And he's like, well, she's hanging in her car every morning for last.
Your phone broke up at the best part.
Your phone broke up. Say it again. So how do you like the taste of my saliva?
Ew.
And then what?
Thing in my coffee every morning.
Hold on. Your phone is breaking up again. Hold on a minute. Are you on Mint Mobile? What do you want? All right. So hang on.
Is that a cricket phone?
It's a cricket phone. All right. Go again. Say it again. What happened?
She was spitting in my coffee for every day for 6 months.
Oh,
ew.
I thought it was hotter than that.
She was spitting in your coffee?
Yeah.
Did she make you your coffee in the morning? That's kind of a nice thing and then a not nice thing.
No, she would do Starbucks runs and I would give her money for mine.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
All right,
so,
here you go.
Yeah, she had access to your car. That's awful.
I'd like a double shot of espresso on that and a single shot of spit.
So what? So she found your boyfriend attractive, so she spit in your coffee?
Yeah.
Can you give me two Luger cubes?
How do you make that leap? What was the justification for that?
She was jealous that I had him and she didn't.
Unbelievable.
So
where's this psycho bitch today?
I have no idea, but she did bail on our lease. So All of it was left to me, and I wasn't making enough money because I wasn't a dancer.
Yeah.
And so I actually ended up getting evicted. Now it's following me on my credit, so good for her.
Oh, boy. Listen, Kristen, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening, okay?
Life in the club.
Welcome back, you guys. Loving it already.
Thank you, Kristen. So, Kristen, you were an original MJ Morning Show listener, I guess, right?
Yes, I'm 33, so I've been following you guys for a very long time.
Awesome. Kristen, thank you so much. Spread the word. Tell everyone we're back on Q105, okay?
I have been.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Who'd have thought?
Happy holidays,
trust you issues too. Happy with holidays. Stripper.
For real.
An untrustworthy stripper.
Jay's in Zephyr Hills. Hello, Jay.
How's it going, MJ?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Welcome back, man.
Thanks.
So I have a crazy roommate story. When I graduated high school, I moved in with two guys. One of them I knew fairly well. The other dude was like kind of a mutual friend. But I tell you what, man, this dude was crazy. He used to, for some reason or another, he just didn't like me, threatened to kill me if I touched his stuff, all kinds of crazy stuff. But the thing that's really like, was really like kind of crazy to me was I had a daughter. My daughter was a year old at the time. And you know those gallon like fruit drinks you get at like Publix or whatever, yeah. Like the cheap ones?
Yep.
Well, he put dish soap in the gallon drink, and I don't know why he would do it because I never really drank these things. I used to give this to my daughter in a bottle. And
oh my God, he was putting dish soap in the juice you would give your daughter?
Yeah, and I happened to take a big swig of it before I gave it.
Dude, did you punch his lights out?
Oh man, it's just crazy. I mean, I had actually contacted the police about it, and they said, "Well, there's nothing we can do about it."
What? How can there be nothing to do about it if you're putting soap in it? How old was the kid?
She was a year old.
Oh, my God. That's awful. Yeah. Hey, Jay, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening. Teresa, Palm Harbor. Hi, Teresa. You're on the MJ Morning Show.
Good morning.
What's your roommate from hell story?
So I had a roommate 8 years ago that would sneak my brother's girlfriend at the time in and out of his window. My brother and the girl broke up after a while, I don't know for what reason, and my old roommate and the girl are still together. They're engaged now.
Hey, Teresa, did you drop your phone in the toilet?
No, it's our first robot call.
It is my first robot call. Thank you.
No, Teresa, your cell phone sounds like crap.
No, the phone, it sounds pretty bad, Teresa.
You sound lovely, but the phone just...
You sound like a lovely young woman.
She's an underwater welder, and she's at work right now.
She's calling in right now.
Oh, my gosh, you nailed it.
Hey, Teresa, your phone is so bad, but I thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Please get a
thank
new...
Thank you.
Please call again with a better phone.
I'm sure it's a great story, though.
One more. Tim and Valrico. Tim, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
Hi there.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
So, long story short, I had this roommate that I started noticing small things missing, change, food in the fridge, stuff like that.
Yep.
Put locks on my bedroom door.
Yep.
Come home one day, lock is busted. I had Christmas presents. I had a whole bought my all the females in my family Bath and Body Works stuff for Christmas.
Oh man.
About $400 worth of stuff was gone. End up calling the cops. They came by, she played dumb for a while, and eventually she gave it up, and cops had to escort her off the property.
Oh, jeez.
So he stole your Christmas present?
Yeah. It was a girl? Yes. You guys were doing it, weren't you?
No, it was, I was actually married at the time, and she was, we needed a little bit more money, so we had somebody move in with us.
But did you do a background check? Did you have any references on this?
We worked with her for like 3 or 4 years before she moved in with us.
Oh, that sucks.
God.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So I guess the closest to thallium poisoning would be this
mercury
maniac putting... What are you saying?
No, I thought you meant the closest.
No. The closest was the dish soap. Somebody trying to poison somebody.
The closest thing to the thallium is the guy putting dish soap in the one-year-old's fruit juice.
Isn't that like a... That's a criminal charge.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know why the cops didn't do anything. All right, MJ Morning Show back in a moment on Q.
The MJ Morning Show podcast.
To the checkout dude at Trader Joe's in South Tampa.
Uh-oh.
On Swan. Which, by the way, how the hell did that store... I like Trader Joe's. I was never a Trader Joe's fan. I didn't get it until I kind of got it. Does that make sense?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of like this morning show.
Thanks.
I listened to you guys, but you suck. But now you guys are really funny.
I never really got Trader Joe's, but then you get hooked on one item. Then you get hooked on another item. And then you discover the shelled English peas. And then you find the chocolate milk is great. They're fair trade chocolate milk. And they, I mean, so it starts building. So there are probably about 10 or 12 things that we buy regularly at Trader Joe's. And Michelle's like, always got to have bananas in the house. So, you know, always pick up some bananas at Trader Joe's. So, the Trader Joe's, a little sidebar here. I don't know how that parking lot was essentially dumped in a residential neighborhood. The traffic gets all gnarled up over there. There must have been some palm greasing to get that location approved.
I've never been.
You've never been to the Trader Joe's in South Tampa? It's right on Swan and Dale Mabry, no?
Trader Joe's, period. Never been.
You've never been to a Trader Joe's?
Whoa.
Really?
You're in for a treat.
Listen.
I haven't gotten it yet.
I'd like to know who signed off on the zoning of that deal.
I'll tell you right now. Yeah. Somebody in the zoning department has a lifetime supply of cookie butter.
Or they're driving a new...
two-buck chuck.
They're driving a new BMW or something. I never understand how that thing... They gave me a hard time about one of the fence posts, you know, oh, that's 2 feet too. I mean, really? So I get difficulty in like a fence post at my house for zoning, and they allow the Trader. I love Trader Joe's now, I really do. But that's a rough location where it gets all backed up and it's essentially going through a residential neighborhood.
It's weird.
Anyway, little side diversion there. I would like to apologize for fibbing to the checkout dude at Trader Joe's yesterday. So I go to the register with 24 bananas.
I know what you did.
24 bananas?
So the guy said, wow, that's a lot of bananas.
How many you got?
And of course, the bananas at Trader Joe's, the non-organic, you don't need to buy organic bananas.
Because of the peel.
I mean, there are certain things that if you want to buy organic raspberries or things that are permeated easily with...
Strawberries.
Yeah, strawberry. Yeah, organics make sense for certain things, but you do not need to buy organic bananas. That's just a waste.
What does the cashier think at an assembly line of working monkeys?
Well, you're pretty close. So the guy says to me, man, that's a lot of bananas. I've never seen anyone check out with that many bananas. And I said, yeah, I'm the new manager of Carol Baskin's Monkey Wonderland.
Oh my God.
Monkey Wonderland.
That's not a fib, that's a whopper.
I said, yes, I'm the new manager of Carol Baskin's. You're from the Tiger King? Yeah, it's right up in Citrus Park. Yeah, come on by. It's the new Monkey Wonderland.
Monkey Wonderland sounds beautiful.
These bananas are for the monkeys at Carol Baskin's Monkey Wonderland.
Sounds like a holiday favorite.
Did you have that excuse made up before you got to the end of the line?
No. Came up with it right on the spot.
No, right off the cuff.
Right off the top of my head. And I didn't correct it. I just left. And the truth is, I bought all the bananas. First of all, a bunch for Michelle to have at the house. But the remainder, I'm making probably a gallon of banana ice cream with Julian.
Well, there you go.
With our ice cream maker.
How could MJ have had that snarky comment ready to go, Roxanne? You know, I hope he asks me about the bananas. I hope he asks me about the bananas.
And if he does,
ask me about the bananas.
Great line.
It's a lot of bananas. I think one would have to ask.
Trader Joe's dude with the floral Hawaiian shirt. I apologize for
that. Hawaiian shirt?
It's awesome. He's probably heading up to Carol Baskin's Monkey Wonderland later today.
Look, and he's like, as soon as you left, MJ, he's like, hey, that guy with the poofy hair, do you know who he is? Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, he's the manager of Carol Baskin's Monkey Wonderland.
So I apologize. All right, it's the MJ Morning Show. Yeah. It's Q105 here. Hey, I want you to think about this. What's the most you'd pay for a hamburger?
Well, it depends on the burger.
What's the most you'd pay for a burger? Think about this, because this is ridiculous, all right?
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105, 857. Froggy, most expensive burger that you've ever had, if you can remember, with all of your marijuana smoking?
Wait, excuse me.
Whoa,
judge me like that.
Easy, man.
I have a headache. I medicate myself.
I'm sorry. He's got a medical marijuana card. I'm sorry.
Okay. Right, so, another way to judge. let's see. $5 burger? Like Pulp Fiction? $5 burger?
Well, like an Outback burger is like $11.
So. Oh, well, I've had probably about a... $12 burger?
All right.
nothing crazy. I'm not going to spend a bunch of money on a burger.
Roxanne?
I haven't paid more than $20 for a burger, but I would try an $80 burger if it was like, I've read about them in New York City, you know, gold-dusted bun with the truffle oil and Wagyu beef, something like that. I would pay just for the novelty.
Yeah, truffle.
One time.
Yeah, but truffle oil kind of sucks.
I love truffle oil.
No. You need truffle oil is kind of the phony way to go.
Okay.
You need real truffle. You need real shaved truffle versus.
That's what I meant.
Shaved truffle and truffle oil.
Totally different. Yeah. You know,
well, they're two different things. Yeah.
It's the difference between an $80 burger and a $280 burger.
Truffle oil is the cheap kind of...
What's a Wagyu meat?
Cheater way out. So, but actual truffles, where they shave the truffles, you know, black being the more common truffle, the white being the more rare and more expensive. You want shaved truffle.
Shaved white truffle.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. You don't want truffle oil.
Truffle oil, please. Disgusting.
Roxanne became a truffle racist all of a sudden.
But any...
This is the more expensive one. I was going to try it.
It is. Fester, most expensive burger you've ever had?
I won't spend more than $20 on a burger. I don't care. I don't care if Jesus cooked it. I'm not going to spend more than $20 on a burger.
You guys know what my favorite burger is on the planet, right?
Yes, right down the street.
L Cap's.
L Cap. L Cap burger, you know, the regular burger is like $5, five and a quarter. The cheeseburger is like, I think, $5.95. That, to me, the L Cap burger is the best burger on the planet. L Cap all day long for me. Now, did I try an expensive burger in New York? I did. I did once for the experience. I tried a $767 burger.
I'll smack you. I'll punch you right in the face right now.
I'm kidding.
My $80 wouldn't get me fired.
That's a joke.
I was just about to ear smack you.
Coop in the other room just spit up his drink.
That's his salary.
No, Coop.
For the month.
I'm joking. The most expensive burger, I had a $33. I had the Black Label burger at the famed Minetta Tavern. And it's, you know, choice cuts of beef and...
And how was it that much greater than...
It's like cuts of prime beef that are hamburgered up, and they do a reduced onion on top on a special brioche bun. It's a good burger.
What kind of sauce?
Yeah, give me the sauce. You got the Wagyu?
I can't remember.
Like a tarragon type thing?
I can't remember what the sauce was, but it was a good burger. But I would take El Cap all day long.
Was it mayo chutney sauce?
Let me be very clear. I would take El Cap here, right here on right down the street here. We're on 4th Street in St. Pete. Right down the, man, you know what? What time do they, it's a little early to get a burger. But I like El Cap. $5, $5.95 for a cheeseburger. Get a couple of those things. I'm a happy camper.
For the money, was the $33 burger worth it?
It was a great experience. It was a very good burger. The beefy flavor, the you could definitely, it was a different kind of burger. I had it once.
Did you have a glass of wine with it?
You know what? I sat at the bar.
A beer.
I sat at the bar, and I think I just had some club soda, actually. But the burger was good. The reason why I'm bringing this up on an expensive burger is it's just been announced that Gordon Ramsay is opening up an American bistro inside of Harrods department store in London. And they're calling it like a taste of America without going across the Atlantic. That's like their catchphrase. So in the middle of a pandemic, and London's been hit pretty hard as well. And listen, we're on the rise here in the U.S. We're going to have, folks, I hate to say this, but we're going to have a rough couple of weeks. I think we're going to have a rough couple of months here in Florida. Here in the Tampa Bay area, and of course, nationwide. So, you know, brace yourselves. I think things are going to get a little rougher before they get better. But Gordon Ramsay's new restaurant in London, inside the Harrods department store, $106 burger.
Oh, please.
Come on. That's a little pretentious.
That really? They want to take me home. Really? And
why? Why? Do me? There's got to be a catch.
I don't know. Well, I'll give you what it is. Of course, Gordon Ramsay is a Michelin-starred chef, blah, blah,
You'll
blah.
You'll eat this hamburger and you like it, you donkey.
You know,
I'll shove this burger in your face.
It's inside of Harrod's department store, obviously, where if you buy a pencil, it's $37, you know, at Harrod's.
But it writes itself, I guess.
Yeah. So the burger is a Wagyu burger. So it is a Wagyu beef.
What the hell is a Wagyu? That sounds disgusting.
A type of cow.
Is it Australian?
It's Japanese.
Well, yeah. Kobe beef is the famous Japanese beef, but Wagyu also, I believe, is derived from
Japan.
Yeah. So but also Kobe is the region with the really expensive beef, and you know we had some when we go to Japan. There's a killer steak place that we go to in Tokyo,
Steak and Ale.
Yeah. Hey, how do you know?
What?
Hey, no, it's Ponderosa, Japan.
Ice cream's great.
Hey, is Ponderosa still around?
No, it's not, but I spent many an hour at Ponderosa as a ute.
So did I. On Independence Boulevard in Virginia Beach, right near Haygood Shopping Center, right across the street.
Yeah.
Love that pond. That was like a Friday night tradition.
Me too.
The Ponderosa used to be in the Pinellas Square Mall.
Really?
Pinellas Park Mall.
My dad and mom.
Across from the Orange Julius.
Hey, Friday night, gotta go to Ponderosa.
Got the ice cream. That's the best.
Oh, yeah. All right, so it's a beef patty. It's seared Wagyu sirloin with truffle pecorino cheese, mayonnaise, and fresh black truffle.
The less rare.
For $106. Hey, G-Man. Hey, Gordon. Can't you shave some white truffle on that burger for $106, really?
Shut up, you ass.
How about I shove this burger down your gullet?
Yeah, it's probably a damn good burger.
And the fries do not come with it.
That is true.
Front of them.
Fries are sold separately.
Really? Cool. They're going to upcharge you for the fries.
For $106, I can't get a little side of fries on the plate next to the burger? Really?
If you guys would like to take a road trip, there's still a Ponderosa Steakhouse in Kissimmee.
Oh, that's not really? Far.
No.
Yes. Oh, people are calling in all pissed. You killed the Ponderosa, still there.
Kissimmee? What is that, Osceola County? What county is that?
I don't know. One of those.
Yeah.
It's in Kissimmee.
All right. So if you don't want to spend $106, they've got a $56 lobster and shrimp burger. And they have the $33 Hell's Kitchen burger. Was there anything? A glass of water is probably $26 at Harrod's department store's Gordon Ramsay.
Here's a sugar packet. That'll be $55.
Yeah, the sugar packet's not included with your tea. Yeah, so. All right, 9:05, it's the MJ Morning Show. I got Hollywood Dirt. We've got morons in the news. Oh, and this scam is back. Come on, really? Why don't people understand this scam is a scam? This has been circulating for years, and now we have a new warning. Be careful, an old scam is back. Why are people falling for this? What? We'll tell you next.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
Just going through email. Of course, my email is mj@mjmorningshow.com. That's mj@mjmorningshow.com if you want to send me an email. And, of course, we're all reachable. You want to get a hold of Roxanne? Roxanne@mjmorningshow.com. Fester@mjmorningshow.com. Froggy@mjmorningshow.com. So I was going through my email, mj@mjmorningshow.com, and another guy's texted me. Hey, MJ, you said you were going to tell the rest of your daughter's Bon Jovi story on yesterday's program, and you didn't. Well,
yeah, you do tease a lot of stuff lately that we're not getting
I say if we have time, I'll get to it, and I didn't get to it yesterday. All right, hang on a minute. Let me talk about the scam here, and then I got to call Chloe up to see if Chloe's okay with me talking about the Bon Jovi issue. I don't want to breach any trust or cross any, because you know me, I like to keep things, you know, well within the lines, and I don't like to cross over any lines ever.
That's not you.
No, never, ever. All right, so the scam deal, Professor, how long has this grandmother, grandfather, grandparent scam been going around?
As long as I can remember.
15 years? I mean, 20 years? I mean, it's been a long time the scam's been rolling along. And, like, we have to be reminded again. And with the holiday season upon us, was this, like, top story on Channel 8?
It was on their webpage. And, I think the guy called a cop. And the cop knew enough to not fall for it.
Yeah. Yeah, Tampa police say that these schmucks are targeting the elderly again. It's a phone call, and they generally target, or they try to target elderly individuals. You know, it's the, hi, grandma, grandpa, I'm in trouble, I need money.
Oh, my God, what's the matter? What do you need? Anything?
I was arrested in Georgia for speeding. I need $74,000.
Oh, my God. I'll send you $100 just in case.
Can you Western Union that right away?
Absolutely. Let me go now.
To an account in Nigeria.
Okay. You need my social security number?
I need that as well.
Okay. Hang on a second.
And can you give me your MasterCard number with the special security code
absolutely
on the back?
Absolutely. That's 727. That's on the back now. Sophia, give him your social, too. I'll give you my wife's social as well.
All right. I don't understand why people still fall for this. You know, send money. We need to send gift cards.
Because they're old people.
Listen, I respect the elderly, but please, if there are any elderly folks, well, I'm amazed that they'll get a phone call and they can't tell the difference between a scam caller and their actual grandson or granddaughter or whatever.
Is that you, Rebecca?
Hey, Grandma.
Oh, you sound different, but I believe it.
Thank you. I need some money.
Yeah, from the Channel 8 website, there's a new Tampa PD investigation. Yeah, several cases, three separate cases came up in Tampa just over the weekend. So if they know about three, there are probably just dozens and dozens of more of these things. Detectives say with the pandemic that the elderly are alone. They're often even more vulnerable. The bad guys also know if they want this to work, it's on the details they get online. They research family facts to make it sound legit. Because there's so much crap you can find online these days. So these bad guys went after an 80-year-old retiree, spent 32 years as a truck driver. When he retired from trucking, took a job as a school bus driver, and he's targeted by crooks.
Did he fall for it?
Nope. They thought they were pulling off the perfect crime, but it turns out they messed with the wrong grandpa. This wasn't the Froggy's grandpa
you
over there.
You won't hoodwink me, young man. I know what you're up to.
Yeah, so they messed with the wrong older dude.
Yeah, you can't get one over
on
this one.
They do a lot. This is what happens. They do find out sometimes, looking at social media accounts, about the grandkids, and they use that information.
That's what they do.
In this instance, they didn't find out enough information.
No, because it turns out that the guy's son is a TPD officer.
That's it.
Yeah. Turns out, messed with the wrong grandparent, told his, he's the proud, I guess his grandson.
His grandson.
Not his son. His grandson is Tampa police officer Jaron Howell.
All right, so he's like, hey, Grandpa, I'm in jail. Aren't you the police?
All right, so Corporal Howell says that this familiar crime happened recently to a familiar face in his life, his own grandfather. Man. He was livid when he heard the crooks try to convince his grandfather to send him $5,000. Can you turn your phone on vibrate, please?
I think my silence is
broken. You don't even know how to turn your phone
it's
on.
17th
my
time.
God. My God, Fester, you're a schmuck. Come on.
Fester's getting scammed right now. Someone's calling him about his grandson.
Oh, yes.
Please tell the elderly loved ones in your life, don't fall for, hello, grandma, hello, grandpa. I'm in big trouble. I got a girl pregnant. I need $1 million.
Oh, my God. You slept with that floozy?
You know what else, too? It's a good idea to not answer your phone.
Yeah, like I do.
The number.
Like me, I never do.
It's a good idea just to avoid all human contact at all angles. Never answer your phone.
I agree.
Yeah, treat it like the caller's got COVID and he's going to blow it right through the phone at you. Yeah. So, again, this scam has been going around forever and ever, and multiple cases in Florida and in Tampa just over the weekend. So, yeah, tell your parents, your grandparents, you know, you're not going to call asking for $5,000 because you're in trouble. You're in jail in Georgia, all right? All right, I got to get Chloe on the phone. The Bon Jovi story. I'll tell it next, all right? So I'll tell the Bon Jovi, if Chloe approves, because it's sort of a personal deal. I don't want to cross any lines. I don't want to breach any trust. But it has to do with Chloe, who's good friends with Bon Jovi's son, Jake. So hang on. We'll tell the story next. I got Hollywood Dirt coming up. Morons of the news. A lot of stuff in just a bit.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
You got the MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. It's 9:25 here on a Tuesday. You saw the CDC is going to vote later today on who should get the vaccine and in what order. But I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be that suggestion, you know, the tiers that they've already put out. It's probably going to be pretty close to that. All right, let's get Chloe on the line. Do you have her on hold, Fester? Is that her?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Hey, Chloe, good morning, sweetie.
Hi.
All right, now you have online class in 5 minutes at 9:30, right?
No, at 9:40.
Oh, 9:40.
You have plenty of time.
What class do you have?
It's nutrition.
Oh, it's a nutrition class. Fantastic.
Boring. If you want a first-hand lesson on nutrition, you should come to lunch with me.
Hey, Fester, hang on.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, Froggy, can you please shut up and not discourage my kid?
What did I say?
You said, oh, how boring.
Well, I mean, nutrition. I mean, what are you going to study?
Can you shut your pie hole?
I mean, it sounds very exciting, Chloe. Have fun.
Why do you have to say anything?
Sorry.
All right, anyway. All right, Chloe, can I tell the Bon Jovi story, or is that crossing the line, or what's the story?
You could tell a Bon Jovi story. I mean, it's nothing too personal.
Now, how did this come up? Something came up. So about a month ago, when we first started the show, it kind of came up that Chloe became good friends with Jake Bon Jovi. That's the real name, John Bon Jovi's son. And, you know, we really haven't talked about it. I haven't really mentioned it to anybody. But it kind of came up, and I mentioned it on the air. But then how did it come up yesterday?
Because they were getting together.
Who?
He invited her somewhere?
Oh, yeah, well,
I think we were playing a song, and somehow he brought it up. Right, I forget.
And then I said on the air, Chloe got an invitation or something.
And then you stopped there.
And then I said, listen, if we have time, we'll talk about it later on. And then a listener emailed me. It's like, hey, MJ, you didn't talk about the Bon Jovi story. So
people are all over you.
They are. If I tease something and I don't get to it, man. They come after me. Listen,
my goodness.
Listen, I'm fair game.
I'm
fair game, folks. All right, so I told Chloe I didn't think this was a good idea, but go ahead and tell the story, Chloe.
Well, I mean, we just talk a lot. We're very good friends. I've known him for maybe like 3 years now, and I do know him. He's a very good friend of my ex-boyfriend, so that's how I do know him.
Right, so that's how Chloe knows John Bon Jovi's kid, Jake.
Who, you have an ex-boyfriend?
Well, I
thought this was your first.
No, they dated a kid a little bit in New York. Oh. And it turns
Chloe,
out...
he's cute.
It turns out...
I know.
Which one, the ex or the new one?
John.
Jake. Yeah, Jake.
Yeah, I wonder why he's cute.
So Chloe became good friends with Jake because Jake was good friends with Chloe's kind of ex-little boyfriend. And they've been good friends ever since. So you get a call or a text from Jake, and he invited you where?
Down to his house. I don't know if I should say exactly where.
No, I mean, they've got a Florida home.
Home.
In the panhandle.
And it's in Panama City. It's on Panama City Beach. So they have a place in Florida. John Bon Jovi's done pretty well for himself. You might have heard of him. So Jake gets hold of Chloe and says, hey, would you like to, you know, come on down and visit?
What?
Yeah. So Chloe says, hey, Dad, can I go to, you know, Jake's house?
Of course you can't go to the Bon Jovi estate.
So, hey, is John, is his dad there as well?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what'd you say?
Well, she came to me and I said, Chloe, it's the middle of a pandemic. First of all, how are you going to get there? I'm not going to drive you, a couple of hours to get over there,
This is a little selfish, Chloe.
I mean, seriously, yeah. Chloe.
So that's the story. I told...
It's a big opportunity.
Well, you're hanging out with your friend.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a good idea in the middle of a pandemic for you to go over to Jake Bon Jovi's place, all
they
right?
They probably have tests. Like, they probably pass tests out among that.
Chloe, can I give you some advice? Can I give you a little...
So everybody knows they're COVID-free?
What is the advice? Advice, Chloe. Okay.
Yep.
Dump that schmuck you're dating now and go out with the Bon Jovi kid. I mean, why even waste any more time? Obviously, it's something that's going to happen. It's in your head.
No.
You're thinking about it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you be friends with, Robin Zander's kid and get invited to his place in Safety Harbor? It's so much closer.
The Dream Police! I want you to want me!
Police! Safety Harbor's 25 minutes from your house. I mean, way the hell over there? Your dad has to drive 5 hours one way?
Or how about Tony Little's kid? Can you hook up with him?
You can do it! Anyway, did you tell Jake that you can't make it over to the Bon Jovi estate?
Chloe?
Did she hang up?
She's on her way there.
She's been Bon Jovi.
Chloe? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, you there?
Yes.
All right. Did you tell Jake that you can't make it?
No, I told him I was coming this weekend, so...
Atta girl.
Get ready. Yeah, that's how you do it.
No,
atta girl.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Did you tell him, whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer.
Sure, he's never heard that.
I'll make it, I swear.
She's suddenly uninvited. If you're going to sing. If you're going to sing, Chloe's not going.
Yeah, Chloe, listen, I think Jake Bon Jovi sounds like a great kid, but I don't think it's a good idea to head over there in a pandemic, all right?
Fine.
So that's a no.
Have fun in your 9:40 class, all right?
All right.
Talk to you later. It's time for Jake's dad to sing here, all right?
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.
The MJ Morning Show Podcast.
MJ, I just want to understand, it's COVID-19 is the reason that Chloe can't go down there?
Yeah.
And see John Bon Jovi's son?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they talk online, they FaceTime, or they, whatever they do, I don't know what.
Snapchat.
With Snapchat, whatever she's on. So, I mean, they talk quite a bit. And listen, it's very nice for him to invite Chloe over to the beautiful spread that they have to hang with the Bon Jovi family. But yeah, it's COVID-19. I don't think it's a good idea. First
not
of all,
just you being an overprotective father.
Chloe is 19 with no driver's license. Because, living in Manhattan, the kids just didn't need to drive. So, the plan is, though, is we're hoping to get the kids, driving tests while they're home during this, intermission from school, because they don't go back to school until the end of January. So Julian is now 16.
Yeah, I think you gotta make appointments for that stuff now, though,
yeah,
right?
So,
you can't just walk in.
Well, here's the deal. They're gonna do there's some provisions that I think the state has given some of the private driving lesson schools. So I think Michelle's exploring that so they can do the online, do the digital stuff and take the test or get ready and then do the behind the wheel, they have to go take something to do, don't they have to take a little test to get their learner's permit first?
So, things have changed.
This state gives out driver's licenses like cups of water.
So I would have to drive Chloe. I'm not going to mess with it. And yes, the answer is yeah, because of COVID-19, I don't think it's a good idea for Chloe to be gallivanting all over the place, even if it's with a nice kid like John Bon Jovi's son.
That's the last kid I would let my daughter hang out with is a rock star's kid.
What are you talking about?
Hey, Chloe, you want to come over and see my multi-million-dollar house and all my cool... What do you think he wants from her? What do you think?
No, they're good friends.
Make out on the dock of the bay.
Froggy, stop. They're good parents.
I don't like it.
They are, from what I've seen, they're really good parents.
Oh, yeah, sure.
John Bon Jovi and his wife.
Yeah, so.
9:36. So, Chloe, the answer is I just don't think it's a good idea.
Be careful, Chloe.
Yes, COVID-19 is the reason why I don't think it's a good idea.
So, John asks his kid, "How's it going with that Chloe girl, Dad? I'm halfway there."
Dad, I'm working on it, man.
Halfway there.
Whoa, whoa, living on a prayer.
Yeah, sure is a prayer, buddy.
And speaking of COVID, mentioned this earlier in the show. I think it bears repeating. This is really cool. With the phase three details, pretty much all the phase three details out now from Moderna and their vaccine, the Moderna vaccine. And this is the one they claim is like, what, 94.5% effective. The efficacious number is pretty damn high. It's sort of a dream vaccine. If you get 94, 95%, that's pretty damn good. But new details have emerged in that Moderna is now saying that of the 30,000 participants in the phase three trials, so 30,000 people participated with what, half getting jabbed with the actual vaccine and then half getting the placebo. Those that actually were vaccinated, not one of the thousands and thousands and thousands got a severe case of COVID-19. Not one of them.
That's amazing.
That's pretty damn good as far as this phase three data. And the other interesting point with COVID, and yeah, we're going to have a rough couple of months. Folks here listening in the Tampa Bay area, you got to take this seriously. Again, masks do work. The science is clear. And, you know, if we do the right things, we socially distance and we do take precautions, just do intelligent things, we can have an effect on the spread. And the fact is, we are in an absolute uptick right now. Things are getting ugly nationwide. Number of cases, I mean, we're like the worst on the planet right now in what's going on in this country. We're America. We're not a third world nation. This is the United States of America. And, well, just a lot of things were mismanaged. And it shouldn't be political. This should not be politicized. But I'm doing whatever I can. I mean, my family, we're trying to be as careful as we possibly can. But the other interesting point, as we wait for the vaccine distribution, which should start later this month with nursing home residents and first responders and frontline healthcare workers at hospitals, etc., what we heard also from one of the folks involved with the Operation Warp Speed is that anybody, any American that wants the vaccine should be able to have it by June. And then we need to take effect. And then we need essentially for the R-naught number to go down to, you know, below 1, below 0.9, and then to try to snuff this thing out and put it to sleep. So we can get back to freaking normal here in the United States of America.
Is there any chance of me getting it by, like, mid-February?
Well,
I want to give it to my wife as a Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Oh, honey, come on. I'm going to take you down to CVS and get jabbed. You know, a lot of places, CVS, Walgreens, Publix, did I see Target? I mean, lots of
places with big pharmacies.
Yeah, so I know that Publix is going to be involved in trying to get as many people vaccinated as possible. So, you know, a lot of businesses that have the infrastructure, especially with the drugstores, with their little clinics now, are going to be a good way for a whole lot of, especially with Publix pharmacies and supermarkets all over the place, Walgreens and CVS's on every other corner. It's going to be a good way to get a lot of America vaccinated.
Did you know this week marks the one-year anniversary of when they just found the coronavirus symptoms in Wuhan, China?
This is the week. Huh? That's why it's COVID-19, because it happened in 2019, was the first trace of it.
You know, there's a lot of speculation that it might have been around earlier in China.
I believe it was.
Might have been floating around in September, October, actually, because I've read numerous things that it's believed that maybe the first instance of COVID-19 in the U.S. might have actually been about mid-December. So it might have already been in the U.S. in a very limited fashion back last December before things exploded in Wuhan toward the end of December and into January.
You know, we talked about some of the pharmacies that are going to be offering the vaccine shot. Is the Amazon pharmacy that they're going to be opening up, like the driver can just pull up to your house, drop off your package, give you a jab? How convenient would that be?
Yeah, give you, and then come back a month later for your second dose?
The way my wife orders crap, the guy comes by 3 times a week anyway.
Yeah, but that's pretty incredible. No one who got the Moderna vaccine in the trial developed a severe case of COVID-19 out of thousands and thousands of folks. So I think that's pretty damn positive. All right, let's do a lightning round here before we get out of here today. We mentioned Kelly Clarkson, like, at the very opening of the show. Played the sound effect from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Do you think Kelly Clarkson is screaming at the fact that her estranged hubby, who is seeking divorce, is looking for $436,000 a month in support? Come on, is that pretty obnoxious? You're asking for $436,000 a month?
You know what his attorney's fees are? $2 million.
What? Whoa. Where do you see that?
He wants $2 million in attorney's fees.
Yeah, Kelly Clarkson, though, did have a little legal victory in court yesterday in the divorce. She's 38. She was granted primary physical custody of her two kids with her estranged husband, Brandon Blackstock. I didn't even know who this guy is. I just saw that he wanted $436,000 in monthly spousal support. I'm like, what?
He hit the Kelly Clarkson lotto is what he is.
I know a lot of that is based on you request or you the court maybe deems what you should get based on your lifestyle. And obviously, they're living pretty high on the hog. Mm. Yeah, Coop.
So, just to clarify, Shelby Blackstock is Reba McEntire's son.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Look at that Coop with a little...
Coop.
Wow.
He's a Reba beat.
I didn't know that.
Big Reba guy. I must say, big Reba guy over here.
Wow.
Very odd.
Yeah, a source told People magazine that Blackstock, 43, has been equally unreasonable in her requests, his request, for child and spousal support as well as attorney's fees. Yeah, I guess that's the $2 million he wants. Yeah, Kelly's offered to pay for all the kids' expenses, but Brandon seems to think he's entitled and needs $301,000 in monthly spousal support and then $135,000 in monthly child support. What is he buying the kids a Bentley each month? What is he doing?
He doesn't even have the kids all the time. He's got them every other weekend.
Like Kelly Clarkson, not Carrie Underwood. Jesus. Should have dated Nicky McKibben.
So if he gets the request, he would pocket more than $5.2 million a year to care for himself and the kids who they share.
Attaboy.
And Reba's his mother. He's probably richer than both of them.
Wow.
Come on, baby. Just settle.
Here it is. $2 million in attorney fees. So, Kelly
Clarkson. What's his name? Blackfoot?
No! Kelly Clarkson! Ah, I'm not paying you that much money!
Jeez.
Go talk to your mama.
Should have stuck with Justin Guarini. He wouldn't have done that to you.
No. And you would have a lifetime supply of Diet Dr. Pepper.
Cardi B apologizing for what? Like a 30-person Thanksgiving? Is that it?
39-person Thanksgiving. Like the highest number in the 30s you can have. 39 people.
It looks
12 kids and 25 adults.
Yeah, that's 37. 12 kids and 25 adults, that's 37, Fester.
You're kind of wrong, stupid.
Why don't you get your facts straight there, Fester?
Good job, Roxy. Does that include Cardi? So then would that make it 38?
And her 38. Ass would be 39.
39. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. It is 39.
Okay, Fester, your math was
good. Well, the two cheeks. So it would be 40. It'd be 40. It'd be 40. Each cheek counts as one. So what was she thinking? Why is she having like a super spreader event? So now she's what, apologized for it?
She's just, you know, she's just saying she was sorry after the fact. Too late now.
And then, speaking of Kelly Clarkson...
I had a Cardi B joke.
Oh, good. Yeah,
way to jump in there in a timely fashion.
I didn't think you were going to wrap it up so fast. Right? That's Cardi, right?
Okay.
Right. Yes.
She served some really wet-ass turkey at her...
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
That's too much.
That's great.
Looks
great.
Listen, if you know, you know, and you're laughing.
Speaking of Kelly Clarkson, you see Ryan Seacrest is trying to sell his house in Beverly Hills? Beverly Hills, $85 million?
Does it include all the hair product?
My God, $85 million house.
You see how much he's going to make?
Well, listen, the asking price and the selling price are two potentially different things. But this home used to belong to Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, God.
He bought it for $39 million back in 2012. And now he's asking $85 million for the place.
And then did you see who Ellen bought it from?
Another lesbian.
From a Punch from Chips. I don't know.
From the creator of Will and Grace.
Oh, Max him. Luchnik.
Oh, wow. Look
awesome.
At that. Yeah. And then finally.
And you know who he bought it from?
I don't know.
The guy who played Darth Vader. Yes, that's right. George Lucas is who she bought it from.
And finally, did you see they've revealed that the Darth Vader actor inside the costume, he died of COVID-19.
Hey, what did his voice sound like? Was it so bad that they had to use James? Was he like, hello, I'm
playing Darth Vader.
No, it wasn't so bad.
James Earl Jones' voice is so awesome.
All right, you look great. Now let's hear what you sound like. Give me your Darth Vader.
Oh, Luke, I'm your father.
All right, this isn't going to work.
Luke, I am your father.
Call James.
Listen, that outfit, that character demanded a massive voice and presence, and the British actor...
oh, he was British?
Yeah, David Prowse was the actor, the guy inside the Darth Vader outfit. He did deliver the lines when, I guess, he was on set, but they just dubbed James Earl Jones in.
Luke, I'm your pops.
You know what that guy would do? He was so strong. He was a bodybuilder, too. And he would just shred phone books with his bare hands on set.
I'm going to rip this phone book right now.
I used to work for the carnival. Ripped the phone books on the telly.
You have failed me for the last time, Admiral.
Right, we're done. Anything else, guys? Speak now, forever. Hold your peace, right?
I'll hold my peace.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday show. It's the MJ Morning Show here on Q105. Folks, have a great day. Don't forget MJMorningShow.com for all the little bits and nuggets we put online. The MJ Morning Show podcast will be available in about an hour or so. The entire show podcast every day on MJMorningShow.com. But also subscribe. We're on the Apple Podcast platform, the Google platform, and Spotify, and I think even the radio.com podcasts. So go ahead and subscribe to our daily podcast, because if you missed any of the show live on Q105, it's podcast every single day. MJMorningShow.com for all the details. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day, folks.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.